ജയം ശുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്രശതശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ അഭയചരണാരവിന്ദ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത ഗോസ്വാമി മഹാരാശീല പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് ജയം നിത്യലീല പ്രവിഷ്ട വിഷ്ണുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്രശതശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ ഭക്തിസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി മഹാരാശീല പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് അനന്തകോടി വൈഷ്ണവ വൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് നാമാചാര്യ ശലഹദാസ് ഠാക്കൂർക്ക് പ്രേം സഹോ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദിഗൗര ഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ശ്രീ ശ്രീ രാധാകൃഷ്ണ ഗോപഗോപിനാഥ ശ്യാമകുണ്ട രാധാകുണ്ട് ഗിരിഗോവർധാനയ്ക്ക് വൃന്ദാവൻ ധാമയ്ക്ക് മായപ്പൂർ ധാമയ്ക്ക് മധുരപുരി ധാമയ്ക്ക് ജഗന്നാഥ്പുരി ധാമയ്ക്ക് ദ്വാരകാപുരി ധാമയ്ക്ക് ഗംഗമായിക്ക് യമുനമായിക്ക് തുളസിദേവിക്ക് ഭക്തിദേവിക്ക് സാമവേദി ഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ഗൗർ പ്രേമനന്ദി ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ദി അസംബ്ലിഡ് ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ദി അസംബ്ലിഡ് ഡിവോട്ടീസ് All glories to the assembled devotees. To Shri Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Namam Shupadaya Krishna Prasthaya Buddhile Shri Bhaktivedanta Swami Dinamini. Namaste Saraswadevim Gauravani Prajayarini Nirvishya Shunyavadi Pashyati Deshatharini. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ സംസാരസാഗരേ മഗ്നം ദീനം മാം കരുണാനിധേ കർമ്മഗ്രാഹഗ്രഹീതാംഗം മാമുദ്ധരവവാർണവാൻ ശ്രീമദ് ഭാഗവതാഖ്യോയം പ്രത്യക്ഷ കൃഷ്ണമേവ ഹി സ്വീകൃതോസി മയാ നാഥ മുക്ത്യർത്ഥം ഭവസാഗരേ രഥേ മദീയോയം സഫലാ സർവദാ ത്വയ നിർവിഘ്നൈവ കർത്തവ്യം ദാസോഹം തവ കേശവ ഭവേ ഭവേ യഥാ ഭക്തി പാദയോർസവ ജായതേ തഥാ കുരുഷ്വ ദേവേശ നാഥസ്ത്വം നോ യദ പ്രഭോ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം യസ്യ സർവഭാവ പ്രണാശനം പ്രണാമോ ദുഃഖശമനം തം നമാമി ഹരിം പരം ജന്മാദ്യസ്യ യതോന്വയാദിതരദ ചാർത്തേഷ്വഭിജ്ഞസ്വരാൻ തേനേ ബ്രഹ്മഹൃദായ ആദികവയേ മുഹ്യന്തി യത്സൂരയാം തേജോ വാരിമൃതം യഥാ വിനിമയോ യത്ര ത്രിസർഗോ മൃഷ ധാംനാ സ്വേന സദാ നിരസ്തകുഹകം സത്യം പരം ധീമഹി ധർമ്മപ്രോജ്ജിതകൈതവോത്രപരമോ നിർമ്മത്സരാണാം സതാം വേദ്യം വാസ്തവമത്ര വസ്തു ശിവദം താപത്രയോന്മൂലനം ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതേ മഹാമുനി കൃതേ കിം വാ പരൈരീശ്വര സദ്യോ ഹൃദ്യവരുദ്ധ്യതേത്ര കൃതിഭി ശുശ്രൂഷുഭി തക്ഷണാം നിഗമകൽപതരോർഗലിതം ഫലം ശുകമുഖാദ് അമൃതദ്രവ സംയുതം പിബത ഭാഗവതം രസമാലയം മുഹുരഹോ രസികാ ഭുവി ഭാവുകാ സച്ചിദാനന്ദരൂപായ വിശ്വോൽപത്യാദിഹേതവേ താപത്രയ വിനാശായ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ വയം നുമാ യം പ്രവ്രജന്തം ഭേദമഭേദകൃത്യം ദ്വൈഭായനോ വിരഹകാതരമാജുഹാവ പുത്രേതി തന്മയദയത്തരവോഭിനേതു തം സർവഭൂതഹൃദയം മുനിമാനതോസ്മി യസ്വാനുഭാവമഖില സാരമേകം അധ്യാത്മദീപമതിഥിതീർഷദാം തമോന്ധം സംസാരിണാം കരുണയാഹ പുരാണഗുഹ്യം തം വ്യാസസൂനുമുപയാമി ഗുരും മുനീനാം നാരായണം നമസ്കൃത്യ നരം ചൈവ നരോത്തമം ദേവീം സരസ്വതീം വ്യാസം തതോ ജയമുദീരയേ കമനീയ കിശോരമുഗ്ധമൂർത്തേ കളവേണു കൊണിതാദൃദാനനേന്ദോ മമ വാചി വിജൃംഭദാം മുരാരേ മധുരിം ന കണികാപി കാപി കാപി ഓം വിഷ്ണുപദായ ക കൃഷ്ണ പ്രസായ ഭൂതലെ ശ്രീമതേ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിൻ ഇതി നാമിനേ നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതി ദേവീം ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണി നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യദേശതാരിണി ശ്രീമൽ ഗുരുചരണാരവിന്ദാഭ്യാം നമ വന്ദേ നന്ദവ്രജസ്ത്രീണാം പാദരേണുമഭീഷ്ടശാം ഹരിഗതോദ്ഗീതം പുനാദി ഭുവനത്രയം ഗോപീ ചരണാരവിന്ദ പരമാനവേ നമ പീതാംബരം കരവിരാജിതചക്രശംഖം കൗമോദഗീ സരസിജം കരുണാസമുദ്രം രാധാസഹായമതിസുന്ദരമന്ദഹാസം വാതാലയേശമനിശം ഹൃദി ഭാവയാമി കോമളം കൂജയൻ വേണു ശ്യാമളോയം കുമാരക വേദവേദ്യപരം ബ്രഹ്മ വാസദാം പുരതോ മമാം മൂകം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കം ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ നമ ശ്രീമതി രാധികായേ നമ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദനാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ ശ്രുതയ ഊചുഹു ജയ ജയ ജഹ്യജാമചിതദോഷകൃഭീതഗുണം തമസി യദാത്മനാം സമവരുദ്ധ സമസ്തഭഗാ അഗജഗദോഗസാം അഖിലശക്ത്യവബോധഗതേ ക്വചിത് ജയാത്മനാ ച ചരതോ നുചരേ നിഗമാഃ ബൃഹദുപലബ്ധമേതദ വയന്ദവശേഷതയാ യദ ഉദയാസ്തമയോ വികൃതേർമൃതി വാ വികൃതാത് അധഹൃഷയോ ധതുസ്ത്വയി മനോ വചനാചരിതം കഥമയന്ത ഭവന്തി ഭുവോ ദത്തപദാനി നൃണാം ഇതി തവ സുരസ്ത്രയാധിപതേ അഖില ലോകമലക്ഷപണകഥാമൃതാബ്ധി അവഗാഹ്യ തപാം സിജഹൂം കിമുദ പുനഃസ്വതാം അവിദുധാശയ കാലഗുണ പരമഭജന്തി ഏ പദം അജസ്രസുഖാനുഭവം ദ്യുതയമിവ ശ്വസന്ധ്യ സുഹൃതോ യതി തേനുവിധ മഹദഹമാദയോണ്ടമസൃജൻ യദനുഗ്രഹതാം പുരുഷവിധോന്വയോത്ര ചരമോന്നമയാദിഷുയ സദസദപരം ത്വമഥം യദേഷ്വവശേഷമൃതം ഉദരമുപാസദേയ കൃഷിവർമ്മസുകൂർപ്പദൃശാഃ പരിസരപദ്ധതിം ഹൃദയമാരുണയോ ദഹരം തദ ഉദഗാദനന്ദതമധാമശിരപരമം പുനരിഹ യത് സമേത്യന പദന്തി കൃതാന്തമുഖേ സുഹൃതവിചിത്രയോനിഷു വിശന്നിവഹേതുതയാ തരതമതശ്ചകാസ്ത്യനലവ സുഹൃദാനുകൃതി അഥ വിധദാസ്വമൂഷ്വവിധദം തവ ധാമ സമം വിരചതിയോന്വയന്ദ്യഭി വിപണ്യവ ഏകരസം സോ സോ യെസ്റ്റർഡേ that Krishna is present as Antaryami within everyone's heart and Maya Devi is also present there inside. Shruti is addressing the Antaryami, Krishna inside, that samasta avaruddha samasta bhaga అగజగదో గసాం అఖిల శక్తి అవబోధగతి. ఇన్ హూమ్ ఆల్ దిస్ పవర్ ఈస్ ప్రెసెంట్? అగజగదోగసాం అఖిల శక్తి అవబోధగతి. ఆల్ దిస్ పవర్ ఈస్ ప్రెసెంట్ ఇన్ ది అంతర్యామి, ఇన్ ది అంతర్యామి. ఇన్ ఎవ్రీ వన్ అంతర్యామి ఈస్ ప్రెసెంట్ అండ్ ఇన్ అంతర్యామి హ్యాస్ దిస్ పవర్ ఇన్ ఎవ్రీబడి. సేమ్ అంతర్యామి ఈస్ ప్రెసెంట్ ఇన్ ఎవ్రీబడి అండ్ అంతర్యామి హ్యాస్ అఖిల శక్తి అవబోధక. మీన్స్ దిస్ పవర్ ఈస్ ఇన్ ఎవ్రీబడి, ఇస్ నాట్ ఓన్లీ ఇన్ ఇన్ ది కేస్ ఆఫ్ వెన్ శృతి ఈస్ అడ్రెస్సింగ్ కృష్ణ ఇన్ దిస్ వే. డస్ నాట్ మీన్ దట్ దిస్ పొటెన్సీ ఈజ్ ఓన్లీ ఇన్ ది ఇన్ కృష్ణ, ఇన్ ఇట్స్ ఇన్ ఎవ్రీ వన్ యాజ్ అంతర్యామి దిస్ పొటెన్సీ ఈస్ దేర్. దట్స్ వాట్ ఇట్ సేస్ హియర్, అఖిల శక్తి అవబోధకతే. అండ్ అవబోధకతే, హౌ డూ యూ నో దాట్? బికాస్ అవబోధం ఈజ్ దేర్ ఇన్ ఎవ్రీబడి, ఇస్ ఇన్ ఇట్? అవబోధం మీన్స్ అవేర్నెస్. యాజ్ లాంగ్ ఎస్ దెర్ ఈస్ అవేర్నెస్ ఇన్ ఎనీ వన్, ఇట్ మీన్స్ దట్ ఆల్ దీస్ పొటెన్సీస్ ఆర్ ప్రెసెంట్ దేర్ ఇన్ హిమ్. అవబోధం ఈస్ అవబోధం మీన్స్ అవేర్నెస్. అవబోధం ఈస్ ఓన్లీ ఇన్ ఇండికేషన్ ఆఫ్ దాట్ టు దోస్ హూ వాంట్స్ టు సీ ద ప్రెసెన్స్ ఆఫ్ కృష్ణ ఇన్ హార్ట్ ఆఫ్ ఎనీ వన్. ద ప్రూఫ్ ఆఫ్ దాట్ ఈస్ దిస్ అవబోధం. అవబోధం మీన్స్ అవేర్నెస్. సాంద్రం ఆనందం అవబోధం. ఆనందం అండ్ అవబోధం ఆర్ ద టూ ఫీచర్స్. ఆనందం ఈజ్ నాట్ దేర్ బికాస్ ఆఫ్ వి ఆర్ నాట్ ఎక్స్పీరియన్సింగ్ దాట్ బికాస్ ఆఫ్ మాయా. బికాస్ ఆఫ్ మాయా ఆనందం ఆస్పెక్ట్ వి ఆర్ నాట్ ఎక్స్పీరియన్సింగ్. బట్ అవబోధం ఆస్పెక్ట్ మాయా డస్ నాట్ కవర్. అవబోధం ఈజ్ ఆల్వేస్ దేర్ వెదర్ యూ వాంట్ ఇట్ ఆర్ నాట్. ఇట్స్ దేర్ అవబోధం. దట్ ఈస్ ది డిఫరెన్స్. మాయా కవర్స్ దట్ ఆనందం, బట్ అవబోధం ఈజ్ నెవర్ కవర్డ్ బై మాయా. దట్ ఈస్ వాట్ మెన్షన్స్ హియర్. అండ్ ఆల్సో దట్ టు వేకప్ దట్ అదర్ పవర్స్ ఇన్ సైడ్, ఆల్ అదర్ పవర్స్ లైక్ ఆనందం అండ్ ఎటర్నిటీ అండ్ ప్యూరి నిత్యబుద్ధం, శుద్ధ నిత్యబుద్ధ శుద్ధ ముక్త స్వరూపం, దట్ లిబరేటెడ్ స్టేట్, ఆల్ దిస్ ఈస్ ఇన్ ది హ్యాండ్స్ ఆఫ్ ది అంతర్యామి ఇన్ సైడ్. బట్ he doesn't have to do anything for that. Just by his presence it can happen. He is present there. Sanidhyam we say, the word, isn't it? The word is sanidhyam. Yasya sanidhya matrena. It is same thing is mentioned in the Vivek Chudamani. Acharya Swamiji says like this in the verse 129. He says yasya sanidhya matrena, only by his just presence is enough. What will happen? Dehendriya manodhiya. The body is functioning, pranam is functioning, mind is functioning, senses are functioning, intelligence is functioning just by his presence. He doesn't do anything. If he is there, it will work. If he is not there, none of them will work. That's why that verse, yasya sanidhya matrena dehendriya manodhiya vishayeshu sugiyeshu vartande prerida iva. That's the verse. విషయేషు స్వకీయేషు వర్తందే ప్రేరిత ఇవ. సో ఆల్ దేస్ బై హూస్ వెరీ ప్రెసెన్స్ ద బాడీ, ది ఆర్గన్స్, ద మైండ్ అండ్ ఇంటెలెక్ట్ కీప్ టు దేర్ రెస్పెక్టివ్ స్పియర్స్ ఆఫ్ యాక్టివిటీ లైక్ సర్వెంట్స్. దే ఆర్ లైక్ సర్వెంట్స్. ఆల్ ఆఫ్ దమ్ ఆర్ లైక్ సర్వెంట్స్. డూ దే ఆల్ రెస్పెక్టివ్లీ డూ దేర్ ఫంక్షన్స్ ఇన్ హిస్ ప్రెసెన్స్ బై హూస్ అంతర్యామి ఇస్ ప్రెసెన్స్. That's what it is. Yasya sanidhya matrena dehendriya manodhiya vishayeshu sugiyeshu vartande prerita iva. So here that Krishna andaryami inside akhila loka akhila shakti avabhodakate. Akhila shakti means all potencies he is capable of waking them up in a person. In a person. And he is inside, which means that in all living entities, whether they are moving or non-moving. Whether they are moving or non-moving, sthavaram or jangamam, he can do that. And that is why we saw yesterday that liberation has happened to trees and plants and creepers and birds and bees and animals and demons and everybody. They all, because once he decides from inside, he can go finished here. It's not due to sadhana. It's due to satsangam. That has happened. That's what Bhagavatam says, isn't it? Krishna is saying there in that 12th chapter, in the 11th canto. So, in all living entities, inside their heart in the form of Antaryami who is present there, and that Antaryami's presence there is experienced by all of us in the form of awareness. In the form of awareness, bodham, isn't it? So, then even it is so, only sometimes the mind is perceiving the presence, because mind, we also not all the time present. You cannot say the mind is present all the time. Sometimes even in the vacant state, only when you have a very strong flow of thought waves, chittavritti inside, you feel the presence of the mind, isn't it? Sometimes, suppose you are in a very calm, peaceful state, you may not experience the presence of the mind. Only when it's a very strong flow of thought waves inside, you feel the mind is active. Mind is active. One thought and behind that another thought, next to another thought, in that way. So, between two thought waves, what happens? If you think about that, then thought waves are called the mind. The thought waves that is coming through is called the mind. So, I have thought about Krishna now, and I thought, then afterwards, I thought about Ramachandra. First I thought about Krishna, and later on I thought about Ramachandra. By the time I finished my thoughts about Krishna, and then I started thinking about Ramachandra, then between the thoughts of Krishna and thoughts of Ramachandra, what is there in that gap? That is important thing. So there is a state there, and what is there that we don't know at the moment. Suppose our attention goes away, Shraddha, or the thoughts in the mind, from one person goes to another person, in between what is there, at the moment we do not know that, isn't it? So, and that thing it is inside, in between two thought waves, sa vrittike gopika sakshi krishna swarupam. It is the Antaryami's presence there. That is where one has to notice his presence. It's Antaryami who is shifting the thoughts from one form to another form. It is his presence in between. Initially, I thought about Krishna for some time. I saw, remember the form, Gokulananda's form. And say, today is Thursday, we saw how Krishna's dress, everything. We looked at Krishna today. And then I looked at Ramachandra also today, how Ramachandra is dressed in that form. But in between that, there is a gap there. And that shifting from Krishna's form to Ramachandra's form, what has happened? Antaryami has done that. That's where Antaryami's presence to be taken note of. So, sa vrittike gopika sakshi krishna swarupam. All the thoughts that is going after form is chittavritti. All the thoughts that's going after different forms is chittavritti. It is chittavritti that is bringing that. Okay, you may think about Krishna and Ramachandra, that is one example. But you may think about other people in this world. Somebody may think about their wife or son or daughter or father, grandmother, anybody. And then you may switch on to a brother or somebody else or some friend, like that. Thought waves often name or from one name to another form, one name and form to another name and form. But that shifting, when it happens, then all chittavritti are considered to be gopis. This is the, in the Vedantam aspect, this is not the Bhagavatam story, this is. From Vedantam point of view, all the thought waves are that gopi. And one Chitravarti, Chitravarti and another Chitravarti in between, Meghachakre Vireju. In the Bhagavatam you will see, if you look into the 33rd chapter in the 10th canto, what do you see there? It mentions that chapter 33, verse 8. That is what was mentioned there. Padanyaser Bujavidudubi Sasmider Bruvilaser Bajan Madhi Chalakuchapadai Kundaler Gandalolehi Sidven Mukhya Kubara Rashana Grandhaya Krishna Vadhom Gayandyastam Tadida Ivada Meghachakre Vireju. Tadida Ivata Meghachakre Vireju. There that comparison was given. What was the comparison? In the sky there are clouds. One cloud after another cloud. In the middle of that suddenly appears the lightning. Suddenly appears the lightning. Similarly, different clouds are here compared with the different gopis. And within that different gopis, Krishna appears like the lightning. Like the lightning. So, and also mentions here that gopis also appeared, comparison here. Gayandyastam tadida yivata megachakre vireju. That means, gopis were also singing about Krishna, and among the clouds, like the lightning, they also appeared. That is also mentions. That you can talk about it like this. Between one, in there is a sky there. And in that sky, we are seeing clouds. There is one cloud and then there is another cloud. And in between you see the sky. In between you the sky. So, did the sky was born, sky happened only between the clouds? No. Cloud, sky is always there. The clouds are moving. You see? The clouds are moving. And sky is covered by the clouds. Sky is covered by the clouds. Cloud itself is a experience for us in the sky. In the sky. They don't touch the sky, but they are moving in the sky. They are moving in the sky. Similarly, all the thought waves are coming and going. And when these thought waves are coming and going at the same time, in which sky or in the space, Chidakasham, and that means Chidakasham is our awareness. It is in our awareness all these things are happening. The movement of the clouds and everything. And Chitavritti also, that awareness or the experiences of our existence and that awareness, it is called Pratyabhijna. Pratyabhijna is the word used in the Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam uses the word Pratyabhijna. That means recognition. Recognition of that. That when that recognition happens to us, then that is realization. That is a realization. That means that when Chitavrittis are coming and going like clouds in us. So many Chitavrittis are coming and going like the clouds in us. But when these Chitavrittis are coming and going, instead of identifying with the Chitavritti, if you identify with the awareness and start realizing that in my awareness all these thoughts are coming one after the other and going through. That means you have separated yourself from the Chitavritti. You have come back to your identity as the awareness. When that happens, that means that awareness brings you the feeling of your existence. Whereas if you identify with the Chitavritti, it does not bring you the feeling of your existence. When you are identifying with your awareness, it brings you the feeling of your existence. So when that is when that happens, it's called Pratyabhijna. 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 So, now and then one will get that experience. Sometimes you will get the experience of the mind. When you are identifying with the chittavritti, you are experiencing the mind. When you are identifying with your awareness, then it is called pratyabhijna. When it's called pratyabhijna. So, sometimes the mind will come, sometimes that liberated state, that is a liberated state, it is jivanmukti state that is, that you are able to free yourself from the chittavritti and identify with the awareness inside. These are subtle things, one practices it, one will get and understand these things. Normally, we just simply identify with the chittavritti and start reacting in this world, isn't it? So, therefore, sometimes we will experience that perfection in us when we identified with the pratyabhijna or purnada or perfection inside. And sometimes the experience of the material world will come through the chittavritti when we identify with that. Vishaya anubhavam. It is called vishaya anubhavam. So sometimes experience of the soul, sometimes experience of the sense object. So, what is the difference between a materialist and a real jnani, or materialist and the realized soul? Materialist always gives attention to the sense object or sense enjoyment or sensual experience. He gives attention to that all the time. That is why he is called a materialist. He is always, his shraddha is always in the sense enjoyment. Never experiences the presence of the awareness or the soul inside. On the other hand, a jnani always gives attention to the awareness or atmanubhavam or awareness of the soul. And he does not give any attention to vishayanubhavam. Vishayanubhavam means the enjoyment of the senses. That is the difference between a materialist and a jnani. Materialist and a jnani. That's only the difference. Both of them are in the same platform, but materialist is not taking note of this experience between the two thought waves. Thought waves means also sense enjoyment. That can be related to sense enjoyment. So, vishaya nibhavam, that means between two sense enjoyment thought waves related to sense enjoyment, a materialist only gives attention to those related to the sense enjoyment. That jnani, he gives importance to that gap between the two and he gives attention to that. And he is not giving any attention to these sense enjoyment thought waves, which is covering his realization of the self, which is in between. He is not giving attention to that. So, and he gives up that. So, on the other hand, the materialist who is giving attention to the sense enjoyment thought waves, he gives importance to that. And when he thinks that he wants that, the sense enjoyment, and he will start thinking, what should I do for that to get it? What should I do for that to get it? And but in the case of a jnani, also sometimes he may get that desire, like the materialist. He may also get the desire. But the difference is, in the case of a materialist, as soon as that desire comes, he will go looking for it. In the case of a jnani, he thinks that if it happens, it happened. If it didn't happen, better that it didn't happen. He will think like that. That is where the difference is between a jnani and a materialist. Both of them, everyone, whether jnani or a materialist, thought waves are coming, both of them, thought waves come through. Unless a jnani has gone so high that he is beyond such a thought, may not happen. Very elevated state that is. But normal situation, a jnani also, who is fixed up in a spiritual life, he is also experiencing through the same thought waves what's coming through a materialist. Materialist gives attention to those thought waves which are giving him an opportunity for sense enjoyment, and he is making his plans how to have them, how to get it. Jnani, on the other hand, he does not give attention to that, but thought waves will come to him also, and if desires come to have them, he will not go after them. That is Jnanam. That is Jnanam. He knows where to pull back, and if he thinks that if it comes, it comes, if it doesn't come, all the more better. That's how he thinks about that. When desires are coming, what happens in him? When desires are coming, he realizes that these desires are like clouds coming within me, the soul inside, and that soul is complete in all aspects. But, and he also knows that the soul does not require anything for its perfection, for its fulfillment. Soul doesn't need any of that thing. And he knows very well, soul is not looking for that, and he is not looking for any satisfaction from that desire. So, because this awareness is inside, he is satisfied, and that desire does not further grow inside. Does not grow inside. Just like in the sky, when the cloud, when it rains heavily, the sky gets cleared up. All the clouds goes away, isn't it? All the clouds gets turns into rain and they come down. Similarly, that when we see that sky inside, Chidakasham. Chidakasham means that space behind where all these desires are coming and going. When we see that the desire has come and it has gone without bothering us inside the screen, then we feel happiness inside. We feel the happiness inside. So, there, then you start noticing that it is not by getting the objects from outside that that I'm going to get satisfied, but when that urge that came inside in the form of desire, when it was released from inside, I felt happiness. Normally we think, generally saying, most of us think that I have a desire, some desire has come up and I need to get it satisfied from outside. But a jnani situation is, because he is so alert inside about the presence of these desires, and it will come to him also, but the advantage he has got is that he is so aware, awareness is so good, that he is always seeing the desires are coming and he is trying to keep himself away from that and not giving more value to it. If it comes, it comes, but if it didn't come, he does not give attention to that. Like the sky, when it gets cleared, when it rains, how it gets cleared from the clouds. Similarly, all these desires also that's coming through as thought waves, when they come and go through inside, passes through, he feels a big relief, and he feels that that urge has been, that urge that has come inside, that desire has created, that has been released, and so he feels at that moment that a certain happiness, that not by fulfilling the desire, but rather by getting it cleared up from inside. Cleared up from inside. Because for a person who has got this pratyabhijna, awareness of his own identity, for that person, whether the desire comes and goes, it does not matter to him. Whether any desires are coming in or going out, it does not matter to him. Because his attention is not on the desire, attention is on the pratyabhijna, is on the awareness inside. On the awareness inside. So these are simple sadhana to tell us that in the process of spiritual life, these things do happen to everybody. Everybody goes through that. You cannot have a spiritual life when all the time attention is on the desires and fulfilling the desires and thinking that one day all the desires will run away. They won't. Because that is what mentions here, that these are all different potencies of the Antaryami inside. Antaryami has to help us in these things. When we become more fixed on the presence of Antaryami inside, these things will happen inside. Our identification with the desires will go, and this connection with the Antaryami will become more strengthened, and that is what is called Pratyabhijna. Pratyabhijna is that identification there. So he will not, under this jnani, that is jnanam. Jnanam is this. Under any circumstances, he will not allow that clarity inside to lose. He knows that the moment I identify with the thought waves related to sense enjoyment, inside is polluted. Then inside is polluted. He will lose that pratyabhijna inside. He knows about that. So, but so he will not allow that to lose it. He will always be very alert in that way. But in the case of a materialist, what happens? sometimes it happens. What happens in materialist case also? His drishti. His drishti or his vision is that sometimes, say, in the case of materialist, children will ask for something. And you know that you can't provide that happiness, what he wants from sense enjoyment, isn't it? So then what do we say? Children will ask, when you take them through the shopping centers and all that, they see so many things. They'll say, I'd like to have this, I'd like to have that. They will ask for everything. They won't look at your purse or your capacity to buy it or not. They will, when they see they like it, attraction is there, vasana is there inside. Immediately their desire will come out and they will express their desire to you. So what will you say to them? With the children, you will say, I haven't brought the money or credit card today, we'll come tomorrow and get it. Something like that, you will escape from the situation, isn't it? So that, and by tomorrow you know that he will forget it. The desire has come temporarily and disturbed him and gone. So that is, even in the case of a materialist knows that. But what is difference is, in the case of a jnani knows very well that this situation is the same with us also. And this same principle, Shruti also follows. Vedamada. Shruti also follows the same principle. Because what does Shruti do? till we are fully pakvam, matured in spiritual life, Little desires what we have, Shruti provides us that with. How? She says to us, this same nature what we have in us, Vedam also has got. Shruti also has got. She does the same thing with us. She knows that you are not fully ready for full realized state of living in this world. You still have some desires. What does Shruti do? Shruti fulfills some of your desires. Or sometimes she will say to you, give you a Bhalashudhi, that if you study this, if you do this things, in course of time you will get that desire fulfilled. She will say. In Bhagavatam there is so many places it says, if you study Samantaka jewel story, you will never get any bad fame in this world. Or if you study the story of Rukmini Swayamvaram, you will get them. If you are not married, you will get the marriage will happen to you. And similarly, there are many things mentioned like that in the throughout Bhagavatam, we'll see. So Shruti also does the same thing. Because she knows you are not ready for 100% for spiritual life. You still have some desires coming. So Shruti says to you that if you keep reading this, it will happen one day. So at least you will keep reading still. You won't go away from Bhagavatam, isn't it? That's why it is spoken like that. Whether it will happen or not, that's another thing. You don't have to inquire about that. But at least in that faith, you will keep reading, isn't it? Vedamada also does exactly the same thing, like we do with our children. She does the same thing with us. Because we are not matured, so she can do the same thing with us. Children are not mature, we do the same thing with the children. That's all. Difference is. So, this nature in us, Vedam also has got it. That is why it says here, Kojid jaya almanaja charado anucharin nigamaha. Kojid means sometimes. Kojid jaya almanaja charado anucharin nigamaha. Sometimes it will take you in the spiritual path, and sometimes it will also take you into a material direction. Sometimes that is why in the Vedam, there are certain injunctions in the Vedam. Vedam is not always, except the Upanishads part, rest everything is Karmagandam also. Majority of it is Karmagandam, isn't it? And Karmagandam does promise many happiness in the heavenly planets once you leave this body, if you engage in that Karmagandam process. So, so it says like this. Vedam says like this to us. Don't go away. If you have desires, that also we can fulfill for you. It says like that. Kojit ajayalpanaja charade. Charado anucharen nigama. Sometimes it says to us that because she knows that you have desires inside, she doesn't want to leave you because of that, just because you have got desires. She says, stay on. You will fulfill your desires one day. But when it will happen or not, that depends on your karma, prarabdha karma. If it is meant to happen, it will happen. But she encourages still, you stay on, it will happen. But it can happen that when you made the progress in spiritual life later on, and when you start looking back, you start simply noticing that it was just another desire that has come out of the many other millions of desires that has come and gone. One more has come and gone. So while talking about Brahmavidya, spiritual knowledge also, all these things are added on to it. All these things are added on to it. Vedam is like that. Vedam, nature of the Vedic way of presenting is like that. Because the Vedam knows our weaknesses and strength and our swabhavam, that it is like that. So knowing very well that Vedam acts in that way. In that way, it gives the instructions. So even when in Taittiriya Upanishad also, when Bhargavi Varuni Vidya, that means that Bhrigu and Varuna, they have a discussion in Taittiriya Upanishad. In that Bhrigu and Varuna, when they have discussed, there is an indication of that there also. It says like that, because living entity wants anandam, bliss. Living entity wants anandam or bliss. And in order to get that bliss, what it says here? It says here, anando brahmeti vijanad. Anandam he wants, and he knows that anandam, like avabhodham, is also another aspect of Brahman. Anandam and avabhodham, isn't it? Avabhodham he already has, but anandam he wants as well. And anandadeva khal imani bhutani jayande anandena jatani jivanti anandam prayandyati abhisamvishandi saisha bhargavi varuni vidya. It says here that all these beings originate because they had desire for bliss. They are sustained by bliss. They move towards and merge in bliss. So bliss is anandam, isn't it? So it says, anande neiva khal imani bhutani jayante. All living entities wants anandam. They want anandam. And from anandam, that all these beings originate. Anande neiva jatani jivanti. They are, having been born, there is some bliss experience, so that is what is sustaining them in this world. And anandam prayandat abhim samvishanti. Ultimately, they want to move towards anandam, to merge in bliss. This knowledge realized by Bhrigu and imparted by Varuna terminates in the supreme bliss established in the cavity of the heart. In the cavity of the heart. It mentions like that. So, this, but ഭാർഗവി പറഞ്ഞിരിക്കാം, പരമോ വ്യോമം പ്രതിഷ്ഠത. They could have stopped it there, but they didn't stop it. That is the words before that. Paramo Vyomam Pratishthita. Paramo Vyomam Pratishthita means it's all present in the space. Everything is present in the space. But instead, they spoke these things as well in the Upanishad. So, in Upanishad, you can see, it says, Taittiriya Upanishad says, from Anandam, everything is born and everything is standing is present in the bliss or anandam, and everything dissolves in anandam. So this is the thing what Bhrigu and Varuna and Bhrigu, they had a discussion and they have come out with this conclusion. So and it says here, one who knows this very well, he will be established in the truth. He will be established in the truth. Evam Veda Pratishthitam. But what did he say? Then if you look after that also, you will see that Anavanam Mahan Bhavati. There is so many statements there. Sa evam veda pratishthiti. But he did not stop there. He says, Anavan Annado Bhavati Mahan Bhavati Prajayam Pashupir Brahma Varchasena Mahan Kirtya Iti Shashto Anuvakaha. He says, Saivam Annavan Annado Bhavati. And he says here, he becomes in the, he adds there, he becomes the possessor of food and the eater of food. Food is given importance there. After saying all these things, it says, Annavan Annado Bhavati. He becomes Saya Evam Veda Pratishthitam. Then he says, Annavan Annado Bhavati. And Mahan Bhavati Prajayam Pashubhir Brahma Varchasena. And he becomes great in progeny, cattle, and the luster of holiness, and great in glory. So even there, Vedam has this, used the same principle, that it has included some encouragement for his happiness in this world. Even this in the Taittiriya Upanishad. Generally, the Upanishads don't speak a lot like that. Puranam, it is full of it, and in Upanishads you will find rarely, but as a principle, Vedam believes that that till you are fully mature, till we are fully mature, that direct message alone won't help. You need to be given some happiness of this world also to be offered. Only then you will come to a spiritual life. Just like this example we talked about before. How the children, because in the spiritual, in the Vedic point of view, we are just children. We are children. Balana Manishasanam Bhagavatam says, we are like children. We just don't know anything about the self-realization or the soul, isn't it? So because we don't know about the soul, even though we may have grown up 70, 80 years old men, because there is no knowledge of the soul or realization of the soul, we are children in the eyes of the Veda. In the eyes of the Vedam, we are still children. So, that is what it mentions here. Brahma Varchasena Kirtya. So, people, when they read this, if their vasana is for that, for happiness in this world, it will go in that direction. When they read Bhagavatam also, it will happen. You will see this all the time happening. When in this Bhagavata Saptaham and all, which they do, you will see for at the time of Rukmini Swayamvaram, when that chapter comes, they dress up young girls like Rukmini and they tell them that if you dress up like Rukmini and they are allowed to engage in the worship of the, when that Swayamvaram happens, when the marriage happens. That way to give encouragement to them, because they go, those girls has to get married or whatever, the parents have a desire like that. So, so most of the people come and only they'll participate in that, and then they'll go. so that happens. That happens. And there are so many other instances also in the Bhagavatam like that. So, here. So, Anando Brahmedi Vajanad. So, Mahan Bhavadi Prajaya Pashur Bhavadi. So, sometimes, I'll tell you where the problems come. Sometimes, someone who has properly studied Srimad Bhagavatam very, very well and who has a very deep understanding of Bhagavatam. And he has gone very high in his spiritual understanding. And sometimes this ordinary people who are organizing programs, Bhagavatam and all that, they'll go and invite them to come. When they invite them to come, sometimes they go for these programs. So when they come, while welcoming them, they will chant this mantram from the Upanishads. Mantram are recited at that time while welcoming them with the Purna Kumpam and all that. You know, there's a way of welcoming system. So at that time, they chant all these mantras to them that you will have all these things. But that person has gone beyond all these things. But we are bringing him back to our level again, telling him that you will have a lot of cattle, you'll have plenty of land, plenty of wealth. And all these things you are telling that person and wishing him all that from our side. We are wishing him that he will have all these things. And that man is laughing inside that this is how they want me to. So he next time he avoids us because he won't want us to wish him any more these things. All these drama goes on in this world. Various sorts of things like this. You will know if you carefully observe these things, you will see. The organizers don't know anything. What they know is how to organize things, isn't it? Pull people together, set up a place and arrange everything. This is organizing, collect fundraising and prasadam organizing. So many things, all associated activities with that. They'll do all that. But then they also know as the etiquette that they have to welcome the person who is coming. So that person, he has gone above all these things. He has been whole life, he has breaking his invested all his time and energy in getting some realization from Bhagavatam, and he has come to understand that Bhagavatam does not encourage all these things. But the organizers doesn't know. They keep saying that you will get this, you will get that, everything, wishing him all those things. And that man thinks inside, what a place I have landed at the end. This kind of things happen. I'm just saying that. So what can be done? He's saying you will get a lot of food and a lot of fame and a lot of... Because in those days it was... The mantra has not changed. In those days a lot of cows was the wealth, isn't it? So even now when we chant the same mantra because we still need a lot of... Nowadays nobody wants a lot of cows. That is another aspect of it. He's saying that you'll have a lot of cows. We can't keep one cow nowadays. And if you give a lot of cows, what will happen? So that's the thing. A lot of properties and assets and all that. So many things like that. And this is all there in the Vedic mantra. That's what I'm saying. It's all there. That you'll have a lot. Even to manage one house is so difficult. You have a lot of properties, what will you do? So this is the interesting side of it. So, so in the thing is this, that actually sometimes great jnanis also had a lot of these things. Jnanis also realized the souls. In the Vedic times, a jnani and a sannyasi were little different in the sense jnanis were not looked upon by the people as sannyasis. Jnanis were different than the sannyasis. Jnani is a realized person, isn't it? Sannyasi need not be realized. It's supposed to be realized, but it's not. There are so many sannyasis who are not realized anything, isn't it? There are sannyasis. But jnani is realized, isn't it? So, so therefore, because he's not a sannyasi, it's not necessary that he has to be like that, like a sannyasi. Sannyasi cannot have any material assets, a material... he cannot have any material possessions. That is proper sannyasam. Because that will create a bad name for sannyas ashram. But jnani, no. Jnani can have. Therefore, you will see that Annavan, Mahan, Sambat, Samardhi, Prajabi, Vedam says so many things about a jnani. Why? Balanam Rojanartha Bhalashruti. In the Bhagavadam, it says like this. Rojanartha Bhalashruti. As long as human society is thinking these things are important, that means this is called a Rojanartha Bhalashruti. Bhalashruti means that for every karmam you perform or any sadhana or spiritual activity you perform, there is a Phalashruti attached to it, a results attached to it. In several places in the Bhagavatam you will see that Phalashruti. Phalashruti is Rochanartha Phalashruti. What it means is that as long as in one moment Vedam is telling us, it's talking about Brahman, absolute truth, and next moment it's saying that food is important, cows are important, and also fame is important, all kinds of things. You'll be Kradubhi, Pashubhi, Brahma Varchasa, and so many things. What is the reason for saying like that? Because that is the nature of the Vedam. Nature of the Vedam. So, when you see realized souls, when they talk about Vedam, you can understand. They'll say like that, that we have these desires inside. Therefore, to satisfy the desires, that that you will, Vedam has kept it in this way. That is how Vedam deals with us. Now, if you look into people, say for example, jnanis, who are realized, they will also behave like this, like the Vedam does with us. Suppose you happen to come across a realized person. You may not have known that he is realized, but everybody has accepted. There are instances like that. That sometimes people are realized, but they deal in this world in a very peculiar way. Suppose you go to them, then they will talk to you in such a way, they will say something which will be in connection with self-realization, and then suddenly they will move into sense enjoyment. From self-realization they will move to sense enjoyment. That is how Vedam also. In realized souls also you can see this. There was one personality like that. There were several like this, I mean, known ones I'm saying. One Sheshadri Swami in Tirunamalai was like that. He was very peculiar nature, but everybody knew that. He was of a very high realized person, highly realized. No attachment to the body. He wanted to wander around in that famous temple there, in Tirunamalai temple. He used to wander around everywhere, not concerned about anything. A place to sleep or food to eat, nothing, never particular about anything. And he will do some unusual things. Hearing about him, I think I mentioned this before, a man traveled from, somebody went to see him from Chennai by train. He went there, so when he got down at Tirunamalai station, this is long ago, this about probably about 60-70 years ago, this incident happened. He arrived at the station. When he arrived at the station, this person who went from Chennai, he had his suitcase and everything. So he was looking, those days in railway station there were these porters who will carry your luggage. They've all disappeared now. Everybody brought this new thing, isn't it? Wheeling trolley. So that's gone with, they lost their jobs with that. So he got down, those days were all trunk, metallic trunk boxes people used to take. There was no suitcases like leather and all this kind of plastic resins and all, and didn't exist. That time, 60-70 years ago, everybody had good, huge metal trunks, and they used to lock up with big padlocks on that. People used to travel in the train with them, those days. So he arrived there and he had this trunk with him. And he came out of the train and he was looking for a porter. And this Seshadri Swami, whom he had come to see, he had never seen him before. He was standing there. He called him like this, come here, he said. Like the way they call the porter. Porter came. Seshadri Swami went up to him. He says, can you take this to the temple, he said. He put it on his head and they went together. To the Shadra Swami, this has happened not only, Ishwara Chandra Vidyasagar, another example, same thing happened with him in Kolkata, they talk about that, same similar story like this. So Shashadri Swami got there and everything, and then he started, as usual, bargaining about the payment, how much should be, this is all usual story, isn't it? This is all changing now, isn't it? And those days it was like that. So Shashadri Swami asked for some extra money and he said, no, this is all you get. Because they don't have any bargaining power. So you have to take it what you have been given, and they're gone. So next day he is inquiring about Seshadri Swami. Seshadri Swami said okay and he disappeared. And Seshadri Swami knew what this person had come for. How? Reason is this. You know this Para, Pashyandi, Madhyama, Vaikari, four stages. We only can hear the Vaikari. Demigods and Jnanis, they can hear all the other four. That means the moment the thought develops inside, then they will know what is inside you. Para, they see the Pashyandi, Madhyama and Vaikari. They are in four stages. Para stage, Pashyandi, Madhyama, Vaikari, when it comes through the lips. So as soon as the desire, as soon as he is, Seshadri Swami saw this person, he knew he had come to see him. And he has played this drama with him. They get fun out of all these things. Because they are seeing us through. We can't see anything. We in ignorance is acting. So Seshadri Swami went with him, did all these things. And he knew that he will be searching for him. And he stayed away from there, from the temple. So he goes inside and inquiring everywhere, Seshadri Swami, he has come to see him. So somebody said to him, there is one Subramanya Swami temple inside famous Shiva temple, where Lord Subramanya has appeared at one time there, and so they have built one small temple for Subramanya in that main temple. So that's where normally he sleeps, people told him like that, the temple authorities. So he goes there looking for him, he wasn't there. Then he inquired, so somebody was sitting there, they said, he was here a little while ago, he just left, he said. And he asked them, where has he gone? He said he has gone to, there is one place where he goes and takes prasadam. He must have gone there to somebody's house, he said. So he left this place and straight away went there thinking that he will be there. When he got there, they told him, he has just finished his meal and left, he said. Like this, for a week he has been going around all over looking for him. Ultimately, that person started thinking, I have done something wrong. Why I am getting messed around like this? I have come with that one person. In them days, people don't go away very easily like that, isn't it? You can easily notice people. Wherever they live, locally, they are there all the time. And it's quite unusual that you couldn't trace a person like that. It's very difficult because possibility of traveling is very little. Everyone lived in their own places. Nowadays, you can't find anybody anywhere, isn't it? Unless you have your mobile, you cannot have an idea of anyone anywhere, where they are, what they are doing, where is, no idea. Times have changed so much, I'm saying. And then how it has affected our life, you can see how it has affected our life. No connection anywhere, isn't it, in the world, with anybody. Something is floating in this world with a mobile phone all over the world, thinking that if that mobile was, it's like a next sense after the five senses is operating. If it wasn't there, what will we do? We would have much more better contact each other. With this mobile, all contacts have gone. Only if you get a text or if you get a call, there is some, but that too is not a complete contact, proper contact way. Anyway, them days, because all these things didn't exist, it was possible that everybody could think like this, that how is that I'm not able to come to contact with this Seshadri Swami. Seshadri Swami was very close with Ramana Maharshi. Like Muruganath Swami and all, they were very close with him. Close with him in the sense that Seshadri Swami was highly learned. And if you read his biography, you will see the spiritual knowledge personified he was, to that extent, that deep realization. And he will do all kinds of funny things in this world. Because after realization, till the body goes away, he'll be playing around in this. Whatever Krishna wants that body to do in this world, the body will do that. That's his existence here. So anyway, this happened with him. And then finally, he came to the marketplace. When he came to the marketplace, there they saw a lot of group of people around one person. And they are all listening to him and he was saying something. When he looked upon, he saw that same porter who has brought his trunk box there to that lodge where he was staying. So then he inquired and he said, this is Seshadri Swami. So that man had a big shock of his life. The person who I come looking for, whom I thought is a porter, his dress was like that, a soiled dhoti he was wearing, no shirt or anything. And he was, because he has gone to that stage, even his thread has all been taken away, everything. And long beard, not shaved, or hair is also matted practically, in a, not cared for. The body has not been giving any attention to body. So he went and prostrated and paid his obeisances to him and asked for apologies first for all what has happened. So you can see this is how spiritual life is. We will think somebody is great and glorify these things, but and that is what, and that person, when Seshadri Swamiji spoke to him, Seshadri Swami was called, he spoke to this person later in a nice way. He said, have you searched everywhere now? Have you found everything? He said, anyway, he says to him, that's good that you have traveled everywhere. You know now Thiruvannamalai everywhere, very places very well, he said, and made a joke of it. And when he offered some money, he said, no, 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 what do I need the money for? He said, and sent him back from that. So, and he started talking about mundane things with him, about his mundane. Because the purpose of him coming to Thiruvannamalai itself was, he had some problems at home. And Seshadri Swami has understood all these things, even him telling anything. And he told him, you go home, everything will be okay. Your wife will be nice to you, she won't give you any trouble. And things like that, relationship with the wife and children and all that. He spoke all of that. So what I'm saying is that even yanis who are realized in that state, sometimes they will mix things. Mundane material life and spiritual life, they'll mix and deal with you. As long as we have some vasanas inside, because that is their way of dealing with it. And Vedam also does the same thing. That is what that two lines are saying. Kojit ajayalpana cha charato anuchare nigamaha. This is what it means. And to bring you the message through. That's what I'm saying. To this example, all to get this message, what it means. This is what it means. Kojit ajayalpana cha charato anuchare nigama. In other words, sometimes with Maya, this is all Maya, isn't it? All this is Maya. And sometimes with Maya, they will teach us something. And sometimes completely independent of Maya, they can deal with us. They can deal with us. That's why spiritual life is sometimes, we may think and plan and all that, many things in our mind. But doesn't work like that. It completely depends on Krishna's mercy, practically, to say, if Krishna is kind, all these things will be sorted easily. But as long as our ego, we are operating with ego, these experiences will happen in life. These experiences will happen in life, as long as there is ego inside. That's why that ego, till the ego leaves us, when there is ego, we start making plans in life, isn't it? We want to plan everything. Even spiritual life, we want to plan. And that's where everything fails. Everything fails at that time. So, kojidajaya, kojidalpana, charadaham, anuchare nigamaham. So, till we completely come to the state of perfection in Brahmanishta, sometimes with Maya and sometimes separated from Maya in Brahmanishta. And sometimes with Brahmanishta, sometimes with Maya. Brahmanishta means in a spiritually conscious state, in a realized state. Just like that, we are also like that in life, isn't it? Sometimes we have our business in the world, sometimes we have some spiritual life in the same way. Because we have not come out of that. That thing is, we are some connections there in the world outside. So therefore, we have sometimes relationship with Maya, sometimes relationship with soul, relationship with the soul. So very, very, very gross and sense enjoyment level to the highly realized Brahmajnani, his realized state, up to that Vedam covers all of it. From the very gross person who is into sense enjoyment, from him to the highest level, to the totally realized personality, completely freed from all material contamination and pure and fully realized person, all categories of people are covered in the Vedam. That is the Vedic way. Everybody is accommodated within that. So that is why when that question was asked by Parikshit, if you remember the first verse in that chapter, Katam Charanti Shutayaha, he says. If you look into the first verse, what does he say? He says there, Brahmanya Nirdeshe Nirgune Gunavrutayaha Katam Charanti Shutayaha, he says. Isn't it? How does Vedam talks about Katam Charanti Shutayaha? How does Vedam talks about Brahman? That is the question. It says Brahman, Brahman, Brahmanya Nirdeshe. How is it talking about Brahman? Oh, Shruti. Katham Charanti Shrutayaha. That is the question from Parikshit. Katham Charanti Shrutayaha. Brahman, Brahmanya Nirdeshe. Nirgune Gunavrutaye. Because Brahman is Nirgunam. No Gunavrutti. That means three modes of material nature cannot describe Brahman. On the other hand, Vedam is under three modes of material nature. Words, isn't it? They are also under modes of nature. So that's why Parikshit is asking, Katham Charanti Shrutayaha. So this discussion happened where? In Janalokam. Isn't it? This discussion originally happened where? In Janalokam happened. The Vedas personified, they live in Janalokam. Vedas personified, they live in Janalokam. They are Janaloka Nivasis. And Sanandana Maharshi also lives in Janalokam. Out of the four Kumaras, Sanandana also lives in Janalokam. That is where this discussion happened. Sri Narada Maharshi has gone to Shweta Dweep. And Aniruddha lives in Shweta Dweep. Vasudeva, Sangarshana, Pradyumna, Aniruddha. Out of that, Aniruddha lives in Shweta Dweep. And Sri Narada Maharshi has gone to Shweta Dweep. That is when this discussion happened in Janalokam, where Shruti personified Vedam, they lived there, and also Sanandana Maharshi also lives there. Also lives in Janalokam. Janalokam is the place where they have discussed this. So here you can see, Kojid Ajaya Almana Cha Charato Anuchare Nigamaha. Kojit Ajayalpana Charato Anucharendra Nigama. So same thing. Sometimes Vedam will talk things in such a way that you will know that Maya is present in that, along with the Maya. It will talk about that. And sometimes Almanaha, only about the soul. Only about the soul. That is how Vedam is. So, when this is the reason that in Lalita Sahasranam also addressing Maya or Sri Parvati, it is addresses Vidya Avidya Surubini, it says. Both are in her. Vidya is there, Avidya is also there in her. Both Surubam is she. She is the Surubam of both. Vidya Avidya Surubini. In other words, like here, Maya is also present and Brahman is also present in the Vedam. And similarly, in her also, she is personified form of both, Vidya, Avidya, Surubini. That means, when she is present in us, in the form of Vidya, we get enthused to go in the spiritual path. When she is present in us, in the form of Avidya, we get enthused to go in the sense enjoyment path. It's due to her way of directing us from inside, that how it happens. So, therefore, she is knowledge and she is ignorance also. Both is her. Sometimes she comes in the form of knowledge, sometimes she comes in the form of ignorance. And sometimes she comes in the form of Shastram. Upanishads and all Shastram, she comes in that form. Sometimes she comes as a material subject, in the form of science and all other kinds of mundane things. So that is why it's mentioned here, Kojit Ajayalpana Cha Charado Anucharen Nigamaha. Kojit Ajayalpana Cha Charado Anucharen Nigamaha. That's all what that means. So how is it decided that which one will come? Vedam, what it does is, according to a person's vasana,
inside. Anucharir nigamaha. Vedam follows that route. Suppose I have a lot of material desires in me, and somehow I have come into the influence of Vedic understanding of life, I will take those things what is helping my material happiness. Those things I will pick up from the Vedam. Krishna also mentioned this in the Ekadasha Skandam to Uddhava. The same thing. Uddhava, actually, he says to Uddhava, Uddhava asking this question to Krishna, how come so much variation in the Vedam? And not only that, he says, so many great sages, isn't it? They are all authorities on the Vedic knowledge. And they all have studied Vedam. Same authority they all have. But when they start talking about it, one person says, truthfulness is more important than anything else. Somebody else is saying that Shraddha is more important. Somebody else is saying charity is more important. Somebody else is saying austerity is important. So same authority Vedam, and all these great personalities, they are all Brahmavadis, great realized souls, they are all using the same authority and coming back with different conclusions. Why is it like this? Uddhava asked this question to Krishna. So Krishna answered, Uddhava, it's not their fault, he said. It's my fault, he said. Fault is this, he says, that according to the vasana inside, a person will take anything from Shastram. Same thing when you spoken, 10 people will understand in 10 different ways, according to the vasana inside. So vasana is the thing, vasana means our propensity inside, impressions inside, what we have, what we have brought with us from previous life. That will be a powerful force in making that decision, what you want from the Vedam, what you want from the Vedam. So everybody is studying the same Bhagavatam, but everybody feels different about it. Why? It is because of the vasana inside. Someone who is thinking that then Bhagavatam is only for, if he has a really strong urge or powerful drive or force inside to have a lot of wealth in the world, if it is there, a strong urge inside, then he will only see that in the Bhagavatam, how to acquire a lot of wealth. And someone else who thinks a lot of sense gratification, and then he will find that in the Bhagavatam. And similarly, other things, fame, followers, whatever it is, according to desire inside, you will see that in the Shastram. That's how Shastram is compiled. It's compiled in that way. So, so here, it says here, Vedam Anuchare Nigamaha, it says. Anuchara means Vedam follows that process. Vedam follows in that direction of that person. So, but the goal of Vedam is not all this. Goal of Vedam is not that. What is that? Goal of Vedam is only to point out to us that our bodham inside, awareness inside. That is the goal. So that is the goal of Vedam, to show it to us our identity as the avabodham. But even though it gives you all kinds of sense enjoyment, just like when the child, mothers do this, isn't it? It's a bargaining chip. That certain medicines the child is hesitant to take, particularly in Ayurveda. Some medicines are very difficult to take because of their taste is very difficult. Some of them are so bitter, and the child is sick and mother wants the child to take it because she knows that that medicine won't create any damage, rather it will cure the child, but it's only very bitter. So mother may offer, look, if you take the medicine, I'll give you some sweet chocolate or something like that. I'll give you a chocolate, he'll say to the child. So if you say to that to the child will take the medicine. Child will take the medicine. But she is not giving the chocolate to the child. It's only for making the child to drink the medicine, to take the medicine inside. But still you can give the chocolate to the child, even without that also. The idea behind that is that At least let the child take the medicine even though he is taking the chocolate. That's how the mother thinks about it. Mother is not happy to give the chocolate. Mother is not happy to give the chocolate, but chocolate is used as a tool, bribe to get the medicine in somehow or the other. So, obviously, the child has to suffer the effect of the chocolate later, no doubt. That will come. That is why in Vedam, that Karmakandam is that chocolate. Karmakandam is the chocolate. So even what will happen is, Karmakandam, if you keep on getting busy with the Karmakandam, instead of coming to Jnanakandam, to the knowledge part of it, then what will happen is, the ultimate thing what Vedam wants to give it to us, it won't happen. We will get cheated there. We won't be able to go. Because that is what happened to Prachina Brahis, isn't it? Sri Narada Maharshi had to go and talk to him about this. In the Bhagavadam, you know, Puranjanobhakhyanam came from that. So, this has happened. Vedam Trikanda Vishayam. It says there. Jnanam, Karma, Upasana. So people, and Karmakandam is a major part of the Vedam. 70-80% is Karmakandam of the Vedam. Available Vedam, what is today, even 70-80% of is Karmakandam. So here it is mentioned that if you get trapped in that way, you will get cheated there itself, in Karmakandam itself. So that is why he mentions here, Jaya Jaya Jahya Jamajida Dosha Gribhida Gunam Tomasiya Dalmanam Samavarudha Samastha Bhagaham Agajagadoga Sam Akhila Shakti Avabhotagate Kujijayalpana Jacharado Anucharin Nigamaham. Vedam follows that policy. Jaya, Jehi, Aja, Dosha, Gribhita, Gunam, Yadalma, Na, Sam, Avarudha, Samastha, Bhaga, Agajadoga, Sam, Akhila, Shakti, Avabhodagate, Kochit, Ajayalmana, Jacharato, Anucharin, Nigama. So, that is how that verse we have seen so far from the beginning, what it meant. That verse is carrying all this message in there. Then it says, Briha Ubalabdhamed Avayandhyavasheshataya. Brihad Ubalabdhameva Eda Avayandhyavasheshataya. Eda Udayastamayo Vigrader Mridiva Vigradad. Ada Krishayo Dadustoi Mano Vajana Charitam. Kathamayatha Bhavandi Bhuvidattapada Nirnam. So, all these Shruti's verses, starting from verse 14, the best commentary on, the best means recognized among the Vedic scholars for all these verses is Sridhara Swami's commentary. Sridhara Swami's commentary. So what Sridhara Swami has done, he has taken every one verse in this and he has constructed a similar verse in his own way. In his own way, he has constructed a verse for each of these verses. So this first verse, what we have studied now, in his, Sridhara Swami's verses, is, he mentions there, I'll just read out that verse and how he has formed that verse from there. He says, he starts like this. Jaya Jaya Jida Jahyaga Jangamam Pridima Jamupanitam Rasha Gunam Nahi Bhavantam Rade Bhravavandhyami Nigamagita Gunarna Vadathava. The same verse, Sridhara Swami's Bhashyam commentary is like this. Jaya Jaya Jida Jahyaga Jangamam Pridima Jamupanitam Rasha Gunam Nahi Bhavantam Rade Bhavandhyami Nigamagita Gunarnavada Thava. He says, please, Ajida, he calls it, the Antaryami, all glories to you. Through your false modes, you have covered all the living entities through the power of Maya. Please remove that Maya. Except you, nobody else can do that. That's what we discussed yesterday, isn't it? Antaryami himself has to do it. Nobody else can do it, Sridhara Swami says here. Because Vedam is telling that you are the all qualities, transcendental qualities, are present in you. Vedam is saying like this. This is what Sridhara Swami says about that. Jaya Jayajida Jahiga Jangamam Vridimajam Upanidam Rusha Gunam Nahi Bhavandam Rade Bhavandyami Nigama Gita Gunarnavada Tava. That is the verse, Sridhara Swami's verse on this verse in the Shuddha Gita. And perhaps it is because of that that Sridhara Swami's handling of the Shruti Gita, that Sridhara Swami's commentary on Bhagavatam has come very prominent compared to everybody else. He's the only person who has done such a wonderful explanation of this Shruti Gita in the Bhagavatam. And therefore he is glorified for his whole Srimad Bhagavatam commentary compared to everybody else. And you can also notice that when Prabhupada wrote Krishna book, you will see there every mantra in this, every verse in the Bhagavatam, Prabhupada has also used Sridhara Swami's commentary. Didn't mention about Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur's or Sanatana Goswami's or Jiva Goswami's. He has simply taken Sridhara Swami's commentary and spoken that in English. That's what he has done. You'll see there some now and then little bit of others, but verse by verse, he has taken from, he mentions here, for example, that he begins there in the in my Krishna book, it's 151 page, prayers by personified Vedas. When he's after the history of the Shruti Gita was spoken, the history behind it, then when the verses, real Shruti's prayer started, he says here, Sridhara Swami, the great commentator on Srimad Bhagavatam, has composed a nice verse in this regard. And then he says, my dear Lord, I am eternally your part and parcel, but I have been entrapped by material existence, material potencies, which are also an emanation from you. Please order me to render your loving service so that I can be brought to my original position of transcendental bliss. Like that, every single verse he has used Sridhara Swami's commentary. He says Sridhara Swami has composed a nice verse in this regard. So what I'm saying is that all these verses, what is in the Bhagavatam, correspondingly, there is a verse from Sridhara Swami in Sridhara Swami's commentary, which is called Bhavartha Deepika, or some people call it a Sridhariyam, because it came from Sridhara Swami. It's called Sridhariyam, and also it is called Bhavartha Deepika. That is the famous name of that Bhagavatam commentary. So, it's 9 o'clock, then we'll have a short break, then we'll continue. So, verse 15. Brihadubalabdhamedadavayandhyavashesadaya yada udayastamayo vikrader mridiva vikritad adakrishayo dhadustvayimano vachana charidam kathamayadha bhavandi bubidattapadani nirnam. So, 15, where it says here that brihadubalabdham, it says brihadubalabdham. Brihadubalabdham means, it's the name of, another name of Brahman. Brihadubalabdham is another name. Different ways trying to express the same thing. Brihadubalabdham means Brahman. What does that mean? The literal meaning will be not small, but big. Very big, isn't it? So, the same thing in Upanishads, they sometimes they will use the word Bhuma. 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 Na alpe sukhamasti bhumeva sukham. It is in the Chandogya Upanishad. Na alpe sukhamasti bhumeva sukham. In Brahata, Brahata, that's word Brahma means. Brahma means Brahata. Brahata means unlimited. So, Brihad Ubalabdham, that is another word for Brahma. So, that means, Na Alpe Sukhamasti. Alpa means limited. In limited thing, there is no bliss. Bhumeva Sukham. Bliss is in the unlimited thing. That's what it means. Or in other words, Anandam. Anandam means unlimited. That is where happiness is. Paramarthikam. Paramarthikam means absolute happiness. And is in infinity. Infinity is Brahman, isn't it? Brahman is infinite. Brahman is infinite. So, therefore, it's mentioned here that nirvritti. Nirvritti means perfection or your absolute nature is in the Brahman. Brahman is absolute. Limited things are not absolute. Everything's are not absolute. So, therefore, Brahman. Brahman, Brihad Ubalabdhe, Ubalabdham Edad Avayandhi Avasheshadaya, Yada Udayastamayo Vigrader Mridiva Vigradad. That's what it says. Isn't it? Brihad Ubalabdham. Ubalabdhi means what? Ubalabdhi means to get something. What you have got, that's Ubalabdhi. Ubalabdhi. So, what it's saying is, this Brihad Brahman is Ubaladhi. We already got it. We have already got it with us. But Krishna is something what we have already got. It's not something you have to get it new. This one important thing we have to always bear in mind. Brihad Ubaladhi means, you see, this perception in us that one day we are going to get Krishna later, that has to go from within first. Otherwise, we will not move further from where we are. Today we are thinking, I don't know about Krishna. One day he will reveal himself to us. But that is not true. We already have Krishna with us inside. His presence inside. That's what it says, Ubalabdhi means. Ubalabdhi means you've already got it. It's not going to come from outside. You already have it. Brihad Ubalabdham. Krishna is something that we have already got it. Once you have already got it, then you are not going to get it again, isn't it? You already got it. It's already available. Prahlada also mentions this. You remember? That Almatva Sarvabhudanam Siddhatva Aliva Sarvada. He says there. If you remember, Na Achyuta Prinayado. He says to his friends, you are thinking that all this you have to do it at the old age, because his friends told Prahlada, Prahlada, why you start all this spiritual life now, at this stage? You're only 5-6 years old. My parents have told us that you do all these things after retirement, when you have nothing else to do. That's when you start spiritual life, when you don't have anything else to do. This is the famous conception, isn't it? That's why you always see in the temples, churches and all, always filled with old people. Because they haven't got anything else to do, so they decided, let's go to the temple or church or anywhere like that. This is how spiritual life concept comes like that. Rest of the time in life, you have to be busy making money, enjoying life. After everything is exhausted, when you can't do anything else, then you start taking the stick in the hand and walk to the temple. Then, let me engage in spiritual life. So, that's what it says. So, there Prahlada says to his friends that is not the truth, he said. That inquiry must begin now. Kaumara Acharya Prajnaha. And then he says to him, Nahi Achyuta Prinayabhi. It's not very difficult to find Krishna. He says to his friends, why? Almatval Sarvabhudanam. He is present inside as the soul. Siddhatva Riha Sarvada. And everybody has got it. It's not something new. Anybody in this world, nobody has to get it. Everybody has got it with them. Only thing is, they are not conscious of it. That's all it is. That's what it is saying here. In fact, the only one and only thing what we all have got is that Him, is Krishna. Other things you may or may not have it. But this is one thing that everybody has got. So, Alma. Other things are not Siddha. Siddhatvaliha Sarvada, I say. Siddha means that you already have it with you. Because now I'm seeing so many few people here in this room, but I have not got them, isn't it? Why? In the sense, only one thing I have got with me is my awareness, my awareness. Your awareness will go as soon as I close my eyes. Your awareness is not in me. I'm not aware of your presence here then, isn't it? Once I close my eyes, then I'm not conscious of your presence in this place. So my awareness, I don't have that awareness. But even if I close my eyes, even if I close my ears, mouth, everything, all senses, my awareness doesn't go away of my own. My own awareness doesn't disappear. So here it says here, the only thing what we all have got is this ahamasmi, aham, 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 that ahamasmi, that experience. So, so therefore, except this ahamasmi awareness, none other thing is siddha for me. It's not siddha. It's not siddha for me. So that is why in this verse it says, brihad ubalabdham, that big thing Brahman is present inside as Atma, that is a Siddham, that is, and which is present in the form of awareness. Because without senses, this awareness, without senses, without the mind, without all that, I have got it. I don't need senses for that, to know about my own awareness, isn't it? To know about one's own awareness, you don't need the senses, you don't need the mind either. Because that awareness is not coming from the mind, it's coming from the soul. That's why it is. So it mentions here, the vastu, that ubalabdham, is only one thing, that awareness that's coming from the soul. If you accept that much, then that verse is very easily clear, if you understand that. So if you make the whole place dark here, that awareness is still in me. So we have to learn to get amazed. We have to get used to this, to get amazed with this awareness. It's an important thing that this is what is waking up from Antaryami. Waking up is like that. That when you start realizing that where is this awareness coming from? And what is the nature of the source of this awareness coming from? That is the beginning of the waking up of that Antaryami inside. That means, little by little, your attention or Shraddha has started going into the right place. You know what I'm saying? That when you start thinking like that, or it comes through your thoughts all the time, that where is this awareness coming from? Because it is in a very subtle plane, this is happening. Normally we don't give any attention to our awareness, do we? We don't think, we take it for just granted, everything is given. But when you see in a subtle level, where this awareness is coming from, what is the source where it's coming from, this awareness, that means your Shraddha is falling in the right place. This is Shastra. This is how Shastram is. Shastram will lead you to the right way and leave you there. Then it is up to us to take it further. Shastram is telling us, the moment your awareness is, your attention, Shraddha has gone and on, you started thinking, then where is this awareness coming from? And you start looking at it in a wonder, as though it's a wonderful thing that's going on inside, because it's present all the time, and you are thinking about this awareness all the time, and you are wondering yourself, where is it coming from? All situations is present in me, and that means that your attention is on the right spot, in the right spot. So, and that is the time Vedam is opening up that knowledge to us. Vedam is opening. Because we start getting amazed by seeing ourselves. By seeing or perceiving about ourselves, we are getting surprised about ourselves, isn't it? Normally we don't think all these things, do we? We think about everything else in this world except about ourselves. So when you start thinking about yourself in the sense, not the body, but this awareness side of it, when you start thinking about it, then we start, you can say, take it like this, even if you have not studied any shastram, any book, and if you close down all the books and sit in a dark room, and if you start giving attention to this awareness, this experience what you have got inside, what is that? This is one thing what you cannot take it away from you. Take it away from you, isn't it? This awareness. It's with you all the time. It's the most amazing thing that you can take away so many other things. Anger, for example. It comes, it goes. All emotions comes and goes. Is it not? They don't stay. They don't stay. All chittavrittis comes and goes. They don't stay. And even pain in the body, or all the objects what you see when you close the eyes, they are gone. Or all the sound what you hear when you close the ears, that's gone. So everything comes and goes. Nothing stays inside. You may see an object with the eyes open, and after a while when the object has disappeared or you have closed your eyes, that object is not present inside as it used to be when the eyes were open. Little by little, it slowly disappears from your vision. Isn't it? Everything, anything related coming through the senses is like that. It cannot stay permanently inside in its full form. It won't stay. Similarly, all chittavritti, all emotions, all knowledge is also like that. All the knowledge in the world, what you have acquired, will not stay. It will go. All the memory things also come and goes. Nothing stays. When the intelligence goes and memory goes, all what you have stored there, that also goes. But this one thing, awareness, avbodham as it's called, which comes from the soul, at no point in time you can say, I was half aware. Okay, we may say sometime I was half asleep, you may say. But you will never say, I was half aware. Awareness is always full. Either you are or you are not. Prabhupada used to say like this, first you become conscious and then you become Krishna conscious, he said. That's what it meant. In simple terms, he put it like that. He said, you're not even conscious. So how can you become Krishna conscious, he said. Actually, he meant the right thing. All of us are like that, isn't it? We're not even conscious about anything. We are conscious about so many other things in this world, useless things we're conscious of. This very important thing about ourselves, we are not conscious. So he said, you first become conscious, then you become Krishna conscious, he said. So, because if you have become conscious properly, then you become Krishna conscious. Because that consciousness is Krishna. Who else is that? It is only because of Krishna inside that consciousness is coming. So once you become conscious, you become Krishna conscious. There is no separate consciousness. Consciousness is Krishna. In the Shastram it says, consciousness is Brahmam. Prajnanam Brahmam. Prajnanam is Krishna. Isn't Brahmam is Krishna, isn't it? Prajnanam, that consciousness is Brahmam. So the same thing. It mentions here that so this experience, I cannot take it away. I cannot take it away. On top of that, what I have got here is what is happening is inside me, on top of that consciousness, mind is coming and going every day. For many hours, the mind comes. 10, 12, 14 hours it comes. When you go into deep sleep, mind goes. So, permanent thing inside is this consciousness, not the mind. Mind is a visitor. Whereas consciousness is the permanent resident there. Consciousness is always there. Mind is a visitor. It comes every day. And just like you have, sometimes people engage for various work, isn't it? Somebody may come and do the work and he goes. Similarly, the mind comes, does its job and he goes away. He doesn't stay with you permanent. He's not in-house. He's always outside. Outsourcing, in other words, what do we call it? He's sourced outside. He comes from outside. So, and all the other things that change in the body, inside us, everything else changes. But awareness doesn't change. It's always same. Balyam, when the changes are happening in the body, boyhood, childhood, boyhood, youth, old age, middle age, all time, no change in that awareness. Similarly, and body is changing at the same time, isn't it? Body is changing. The body in the middle age or youth is not there in the old age. Similarly, all the cells in the body has changed. The body itself has changed completely. Mind, intelligence, they are all changing. But this awareness is constant and never leaves. That's why that word Brihad Upalabdham Edad Avayand Avasheshataya. It says like that. So, in other words, what it says here, that the person, the body which was in the childhood is not there anymore. You will never see that body again, what you had in the childhood. But awareness is the same person. The same person is still there. Awareness is there, but his body has changed. And in the youthhood and in the old age also, that Chit Shakti inside, its anubhavam or its awareness, that which is coming from the Chit, Satta Chitta Anandam, it is from the Chit Shakti this awareness is coming. What is that awareness? I am, I am, I am. Aham asmi, aham asmi, aham asmi. Awareness that looks like this, that it never changes. It never changes. And that we are 100% sure. That is why when we were small, when we have grown older, and in the old age also, that when we express ourselves, we are so fixed on my I am, aham. That never changes, isn't it? The word when we used when we were children, I, in the youth, I, and in the old age, I, that I hasn't changed. That I is still the same I. Same I has followed through from boyhood, youthhood, old age, like that. So, so we are not giving attention to that. Attention to that. We are not giving. That is why when we are losing that importance to that, instead of giving any attention to that, we are giving attention to the body, attention to the mind, attention to our intelligence, attention to so many things in this package, except this one thing. When you start giving attention to that, how that doesn't change, how come that doesn't never change? This is a subject one should reflect very much, in as deeply as one can, because it will strengthen our understanding of Antaryami inside. These are all Antaryami's various aspects, what we are talking about. That how to understand this Antaryami inside. Unless you talk about Antaryami, you will never come to realize about Antaryami. And to talk about Antaryami, this is how it is spoken about. That it is coming from this Ahamasmi. This is awareness is the only thing that's coming from Antaryami all the time, which remains with us throughout the life, and still we don't give any attention to it. We give attention to so many other things. So when you keep looking at yourself, you start noticing that everything else in me has changed. My body has completely changed. And at one time, when you were young, you could run, you could do so many things with the body, but this body is not able to function many things now. It's not able to do any more many things. And that changed, I have noticed. And when you were young, they have so much nice hair, you could comb and keep it. And it looked nice at that time, but now all the hair is gone. All changes are happening constantly in the body. And I'm noticing all that thing when you look at it with the eyes. And the body is also behaving in a different way, not able to do many things. So these changes are being noticed. Similarly, our emotions in the mind, the thoughts, what thoughts are coming now, what kind of thoughts when you were young, and what kind of thoughts when it came when you were small, child, all that has changed now. Why did that change? We don't know. Changes have happened in the mind. That's all we know. The chittavritti, what we had as a young boy or a young man, is not there when you are an old person, isn't it? All chittavritti has changed. When you are a young boy, you are concerned about all the football matches and all the results of the football matches. All these things are very interesting. Or when you are a young man, tastes have changed, different tastes have developed. When you are an old person, you are preparing yourself to pack up and leave this place. So chittavritti changes, mind changes, intelligence changes, and body is changing. All that I am noticing, but I am not noticing this permanent thing, what is with me, which never goes through any change. So whenever Shraddha, when the Shraddha falls on that thing which never changes, that awareness, Ahamasmi, that is when you start attention to on that. So if you keep asking that question, that means you are giving attention to the Antaryami inside. Antaryami inside. So how come that awareness is not changing, everything else is changing in me? That's the question you have to ask. Body has changed, therefore upalabdham, nityobalabdham, says in the fifth canto. Nityobalabdham, this is. Nityobalabdham. This is the only one thing what you have got permanently with us. Nityobalabdham. So in the darkness it doesn't go. And if you two people are sitting next to each other, you ask him, one person asks the other, who are you? Who is that? He'll say, it's me. It's me. And somebody else says, also, it's me. It's me. So that awareness in everyone is the same thing. That's why this came about like this. It's me. It's me, we say. So, so this saying, I am Ahamasmi, if you notice children, they start using this only after a particular stage in life. From day one, they don't say that, do they? After they have developed a little bit of consciousness and bodily identity, then they start using this I. Initially, they don't say that, I didn't do it, or they become a little bit conscious of their I-ness when it happens to them. So, before that, they will say baby or whatever they refer to their own identity. But whatever they may say, one stage they started experiencing that satta. Satta means that presence of the Paramatma, the Anubhavam inside, or the Antaryami's presence inside. It started that stage, or their own existence, in other words. Their own existence. Because this is called existence, isn't it? Awareness is existence. Sandram, Anandam, Avabhodam. That Avabhodam or awareness is awareness of your existence. That's what it is. In Shastram, they call it as Astitvam. Astitvam. So, knowing about that Astitvam and getting surprised by that is the first step. First step. And who did this? Who did this properly? First person who has done that? Who is that? The first person. I've said this many times, but because your attention didn't fall on that, you've forgotten. Brahma did exactly the same thing. What did Brahma do first? When the lotus stem came out, lotus flower opened. Brahma sat there. And what is the first question he asked? Who am I? Remember this? Now you remember. Otherwise you don't. So I said this many times in the third canto. Isn't it? Kayesha. Who am I? Therefore, one of his name is Who Am I? Brahma's another name is Who Am I? This is how its whole business started. This self-realized, because Brahma was not surprised by anything else. He looked, you see how Vedavyasa Maharshi's Bhagavatam, in a very, very subtle level, he is pushing the point to the truth. He is saying to us, the first thing in the story Bhagavatam, you will read like this, Vishnu was lying down from the navel. We will look at all those things. How big is Vishnu's form? And how big is the... And you will start wondering, one person asked, if a lotus stem comes from the navel, can the lotus stem has such a strength that it can carry a person? So it must be a real stem there, isn't it? That's how we will look at it. We will see the picture. For us, the picture is important. Accordingly, in the Bhagavatam, there is so many pictures also to look at. And we will say, ah, this picture is very nice. Very nicely done. We will make comments also like that. Who is the devotee who has drawn this picture? This is what we are after, the picture. Picture matters to us. But behind the picture there is something what Vedavyas is telling us, that this stem has come out, and then the first thing was the lotus flower, and then it opened, and then there was nothing. So Krishna wanted salsangam, they say. So Krishna said, looked everywhere, there was nobody there. So what did he do? He went and sat inside as Brahma. Kasmayena vibhasito ayam atulo. And then, for salsanga means transmission of the spiritual knowledge. So Krishna decided to transmit to Brahma the spiritual knowledge. So when Brahma sat there and looked in four directions, that's why four heads have come to him. Brahma got four heads, we say four heads. So we start thinking, oh, he's an amazing person, isn't it? He's got four heads. That's what we are interested in. We are surprised by his four heads. Our mind, I'm saying, how it works, is like this. So he looked in four directions. Is there anybody in any direction? In four directions he looked. So four, each direction when he looked, a head came out. That's how the four heads came out. Then he started, waited and waited and waited. Nothing happened. So he started thinking that nobody is here. And no, nothing, complete vacuum. And what does he do? He started thinking, who am I then in the middle of all this thing? That is where self-realization begins. Inquiring about the self. That verse is in the Bhagavatam, you know that, in the third canto or second canto it comes there. Ka esha. It says there, ka esha? Esha esau aham abja prashtaha. Who am I who is sitting on this lotus flower? He asked this question. Ka esha. It's in the third canto somewhere. So, what happened to him when he asked that question? He himself got a great surprise within himself. That's why he asked that question. Similarly, inside all of us, this is what is expected from us. Inside all of us, at some point in time, we have to get surprised by ourselves and ask this question, who am I? And then our spiritual life begins. That's the beginning of spiritual life. Not anything else. Other thing, initiation, chanting, all other things secondary. This is first thing. Spiritual life begins when you are genuinely asking that question, inquiring about yourself. Ka esha? So aham abja prashtaha. Abja prashta means, abja means lotus flower. Prashta means parking his bottom. He's parked on the lotus flower. That's why it's called abja prashtam. Abja prashtam. Ka esha? He's asking this question, who am I sitting on this lotus flower? Brahma asked that question. And in answer to that, then the Chadushlogi Bhagavadam was spoken. This is the way of presentation of the Bhagavadam. You should not go by the details, rather you should carry affected by the message. Important there. So, similarly, Upanishad is saying, the Shruti is telling us, you must get surprised by this Brihad Upalabdham. Brihad Upalabdham eda davayandyavasheshadayam. Now, how is that Brihad Upalabdham? How to become aware of that? Etat avayandi avasheshataya. Avayandi avasheshataya means what? It means that all the other things you have looked at and you have said, no, I have nothing to do with it. That's not where it's coming from. Which one? This awareness. It's not coming from the body. It's not coming from the mind. It's not coming from the intelligence. It's not coming from the ego, this awareness. Because all other things I am seeing, they are coming and going. Mind is coming and going. But awareness is always there. What does that mean? It's not coming from the mind. Intelligence is coming and going. It's changing. But awareness is not changing. It's always there. So it's not coming from intelligence. Even the gross body, when I go into the dream state or deep sleep state, body, I don't experience anything, but awareness is still there. So that means it's not coming from the body. It's not coming from the body, not from the mind, not from the intelligence, not from the ego, not from the senses. Then where it's coming from? That's what that question. Brihad ubalabdhame dadada avayandi avasheshadaya. When everything else is said, I'm not this body, mind, intelligence or ego. If you reject all those things, then there is a silence there, isn't it? There, in that silence, there is something which you cannot take on board, nor you can reject it, what remains at that time, that perfection and astitvam, awareness, avayandi avasheshataya. That is how Upanishads speak. The same language Shruti also uses. In the Upanishads, when it says spoken, it is saying that not this, neti neti, not this, not this, not this. And the same thing in the Shruti says, Brihad Ubalabdhamedam avayandi avasheshataya. That is what that line is talking about. Brihad Ubalabdhamedad. Brihad Ubalabdhamedad avayandi avasheshataya. That what is remaining, that is what is remaining after rejecting everything, still it is with me. Which one? This awareness, that thing. So, there, for example, avasheshataya. Avasheshata means the remainder. Remainder. What is remain? What that remains? So it is from this. It is from this that the word shesha has come to Krishna. Krishna has got a name, isn't it? Adishesha, we say. Shesha means remainder. Remains. What remains? It's because of this that the word has come. Brahman has got Krishna's another name is Shesha. Sheshena bhuri phanivadidavari dena. These words. That Sheshena, that Shesha word has come because of this. When you reject everything, still what is remaining is Shesha, Shesham. Balance, what remains. So that name has come. Shishyate Shesha Samyaha. What remains? Also we say Shesha Shai. Shesha Shai means one who lies down on the Shesha, Adi Shesha. That's how the name Shesha Shai has come. So, actually, he is not lying down. When we talk in terms of person, we'll say he is lying down on that. Actually, Shesha itself is him. He is lying on himself. When we make it personality, we will say Krishna lying down Balram. Balram is that Adi Shesha, isn't it? On him he is lying down. Balram is another form of Adi Shesha is Balram. So before, that is why in Krishnavadaram we will say like this. First Balram went, you remember? At the end, first Balram left the planet and then Krishna went after that. So how it is to be understood, we will say like this. From a devotee's language when you say, you will say like this. Balram has gone there because he is the bed. So he has to go and lie there ready for Krishna to come and lie down. So he has to prepare the bed for Krishna to come and sleep on Balram. So that's a way to put it in that way. But practically what it means is this, that this shesham or what remains, once you have known that rishis avasheshataya avayandi, he says, avayandi avasheshataya. And what will happen if you know that brihad ubalabdhe medad avayandi avasheshataya? If you comes to know about that, then yada udayam astamayo vigrader mridiva vigradad, the next line. If you come to know about that shesham, awareness inside, then yada udayastamayo vigrader udiva vigradad. In other words, these things, one has to do the mananam. One has to perform mananam and anusandhanam. Anusandhanam means following through. And doing that, one should go and see the chit inside. Chit shakti inside. Yada udayastamayo vigrader mridi va vigradad. So, from there, from that chit shakti, this awareness that comes out from that chit shakti and how it remains in us all the time, its appearance and disappearance from that chit shakti, we have to come to notice. It should come to our notice, to our attention. Come to our attention. And by saying that, what it means is that our bhakti, it's giving us an indication of our bhakti. That means, when you start giving attention to the awareness inside, it's an indication of the bhakti inside. What is that bhakti? So swarupa anusandhanam bhakti riti abhidiyate. Bhakti in reality, actual bhakti is when you are after realizing the self. That is bhakti. In normal terms, when we refer to bhakti, you know what we mean. Bhakti, we'll say he's a great devotee. He knows, he has a lot of devotion and all. We say like that. But in strictly speaking, if you look at the precise definition of bhakti, is when you are trying to realize the, when you are going in the direction of realizing the self, that is bhakti. That alone is bhakti. All other things are in your spiritual life different phases in life. Spiritual life also there is different phases. So there are phases when you are executing a lot of sadhana, when you are engaged in pilgrimage, tirtham, visiting different tirthayatra, or when you are engaged in deity worship, or when you are engaged in various other spiritual activities. That's all fine. They're all part of spiritual life. But pure bhakti, you can only say when a person is genuinely looking for that identity of oneself, where it's coming from, realization of the self, in other words, and that awareness, what is within as an indication from the place where it's originating from and where it is going back at the end, that chit shakti, where it's coming from. So that is why that janma, so janmadhyase yataha, remember Bhagavatam begins with this word, janmadi asya yataha, it says. It's the first sutram in the Bhagavatam, it's the second sutram in the Vedanta sutram. In Vedanta sutram, it is the second sutram. In the Bhagavatam, it is the first sutram. First sutram. So what does that mean? Janmadi asya yadaha means from that source from where everything comes. The janmam. Janmam means birth. Birth of everything. Where is it happening? That source. Janmadi asya yada nvayad. That source where it's coming from, janmadhyase yadaha, that source is what is being spoken about. Satyam bharam dhimahi. That vastu is satyam bharam dhimahi. That alone, that source alone is the truth. Source alone is the truth. If you look into the 8th canto of Bhagavadam, in the 3rd chapter, there is reference to that. 8th canto in the 3rd chapter. If you keep studying Bhagavatam in this way, you will feel something from Bhagavatam. Otherwise, if you study in a structured way, canto by canto and all that, it will be a little bit difficult. That is not how you study Bhagavatam. Just like in the courses and seminars, that's what they are doing. You see, what is keeping Bhagavatam together, the one thread in the Bhagavatam is the soul, isn't it? So, when the science of the soul is spoken in the Bhagavatam, and when we are talking about the science of the soul, you have to go back and look where in the Bhagavatam the connection with that statement. So if you look into the 8th canto, 3rd chapter, twenty-fourth verse. That is Gajendra's prayers. Gajendra is praying to Krishna. Gajendra's prayers to Krishna. See, end of that he says, 24th. Savaina deva asura martya tiryang na stri na shando na puman na jandhu na yam guna karma na sanna chasam nisheta shesho jayata ashesha. You can't get a more clear statement than that. Isn't it? Gajendra is saying, Savaina devasura martya tiryang na stri, na shando, na puman, na jandu. You are none of these. You are none of these. What are you actually then? Who are you? He is asking that question and he is answering the same thing. Nayam gunaha karma na sanna chasal. gunam, karmam, none of them is in there in you. You are not deva, you are not an asura, you are not a human being, martya, tiryang, none of these birds or any category. You are not a woman, you are not a man, you are not a shanda, that means the tritiya prakriti, none of that. Na puman, na jandu, animal, nothing you, you are none of these. Then, none of this gunam, three modes of material nature, or karmam is present in you. None of them. Then, na sanna cha asal, and if you reject all these things, what remains? Nisheda shesho, jayadada shesha. What remains? That's you. That is the way that is presented there. That, because that is the only way you can talk about the Brahmam. You can talk about Brahmam. So, that is Gajendra's ways of speaking about that. It is called Nishedham process. Nishedham process means denying everything and then finally establishing the truth. Denying everything. Nisheda Siddhi, it's called. So the same process he says here, Nishedha Ashesho. After denying everything, what remains? That is you. Jayada Ashesha. What remains is that you. He addresses like that. That in that way. So there you can see that after denying everything, what remains? That's you. That's the only way to, that's the process in Upanishads also, to deny everything, and that's what. You're not the body, you're not the mind, you're not the intelligence, you're not the ego, you're not the senses, none of them is you. But then what remains after, if you take away all these things, then what remains in this package? It's that awareness, that's you. It's not that awareness is you. So, you can see here, avasheshataya avayandi. That's what that means. Brihad ubalabdhamedad avayandi avasheshataya. That's what that is referring to. Avayandi. And if you have come to touch connection with that, or if you have touched that, what will happen to you is, that's what it says. Yata udayam astamayam vigrider mridiva vigridat. Because if you have touched that, what will happen is, you will realize that all names and forms are coming from that. All the other things in this creation, names, different names and different forms, namarupam, is coming from that source. Which one? That avasheshataya, that shesham, what is remaining from that? You start realizing that all other names and forms has come from that. That's what he's saying. Yada udayastamayo vigridir udivam vigridad. Udiva vigridad. And it is from the same source, the mind, the false ego, and all kinds of emotions, all of them are coming from the same source. That same source, from the same source, all other emotions, the mind, and also the false ego, the source is the same. That source, where avasheshataya, that remaining thing, remaining part. Remember that Gajendra Stuti is important, yeah? Because Gajendra's realization is saying, he was a great king in his previous life, Indradyumna. Due to curse from Agastya Maharshi, he had to become an elephant. And then even when he became an elephant, he still had the memory of the previous life. And that is how he was able to glorify Krishna at the time of when the universe was bitten by the crocodile. Spoken in the story form, it is the prarabdham, that is the crocodile which has come and bitten him. And a householder's life in this world is Gajendra's life, what is spoken about. Gajendra also wanted to enjoy like a householder, says Shuka Brahmarshi. Householder's tendency is to enjoy life, isn't it? Together family life, fantastic, everything. So that thing, he's making a joke of all of us who are in the householder life. He says, this will be the end at the end, when Gajendra was a very good householder and he enjoyed it very much. All his friends and partying and social life, everything he did well. Only thing is, when Prarabdham came and caught him in the form of a crocodile on his leg, everything finished with that, all happiness gone. And that's when he was fallen into the greatest distress, isn't it? Gajendra fell. And Gajendra is saying at that time that nobody can help me. He himself saying, like a householder says, nobody can help me. When this situation has come, initially everybody was very nice to me. They tried to help me, but they couldn't help me. One after the other, they all left. Finally, when everybody has gone, he was on his own. And then he started saying that there's only one person who can help me now. Everybody has to come in the same way. We also come to the same realization at the end. The only one person who can help me is he. At that time, from inside, because he was a great king in his previous life, and you are a great devotee also, therefore by Krishna's grace, that memory came back. And the same prayer what he sang as a king in the Dimna, and how he offered flowers to Krishna that time, the same prayers coming out, and he plucks last offering of that, plucking that lotus flower from the lake with his trunk, and he is offering to Krishna at that time. Isn't it? So you can see from that Gajendra is saying this in his prayers. That shows that he had full realization as well. By now, Krishna has brought back all his realizations back, what he had in his previous life, although temporarily suspended. So in the prayers, all his realizations started coming out. And that's what he's saying there. You are not this, you are not this, you are not that, you are not that. Nothing, none of them is you. You are that awareness inside. What remains balance is that you, that's you. So after saying that, he mentions like that. And from there, from there comes everything. Everything is coming from that source. Where that awareness is coming from, that's the same source from where the mind, intelligence, senses, and all other ego, everything is coming from that same source. So Prahlada also mentions this. If you look into Prahlada's prayers, 7948, you will see this. 7948. Have we got it? 7948. Tum vayuragni avanirviya dambu matraha. Pranendriyani hridayam chidanugrahascham sarvam tumeva saguno vigunascha bhuman nanyal tudastabhimano vachasa niruktam tum vayuragni avanirviyad ambumatraha pranendriyani hridayam chidanugrahascham sarvam tumeva saguno vigunascha bhuman nanyal tudastabhimano vachasa niruktam. He says, air, fire, earth, water, air, ether and fire, the life air, senses, mind, chittam, false ego, ahangaram, everything is you. He says, Prahlada is saying this, that's all you only. You only has taken that form and has come out. Because all the gross things and all the subtle things is you. And whatever the mind has thought about in its sankalpam, or whatever that has been spoken by words, none of them is separate from you. That is how Prahlada has spoken in that words, isn't it? Tum vayuragni avanir viyad ambu matram. So you can see here that after tum anugraha, everything is you, saguno vigunascha bhuman. Saguno vigunascha bhuman means sagunam and vigunam, both you. Sagunam means with attributes. Vigunam means without attributes. And everything that is coming in my mind, all the thoughts that's coming within me, and all that is disappearing, everything, it's you. In other words, when we start seeing that all our thoughts are appearing and disappearing in the background of that awareness, then you started realizing Krishna. Started realizing Krishna. Because, just like they give the example, then you can see when from the earth pot is made, clay pots are made, isn't it? But even though pot is made, when the pot is broken, finally it goes back to the clay again. It goes back to the clay and goes back to the earth again, isn't it? From the earth we make the clay, and from the clay we make the pot. And once pot has a certain life, you break it into pieces and it disappears and goes back as clay and to the earth back again. So he mentions here that Vigrader Mudiva Udiva Vigradat, it says that from the same earth you make clay pots, then you make also different dolls you can make with the clay, isn't it? All sorts of things you can make with the clay. They make different statues and different images they can make with the clay, with the pots, everything. But in all these things, the ingredient is, it has come from clay, only the form has changed. Namam Rupam has changed. Vastu remains the same. Is it not? Namam means we call it by different names. Sometimes we call it as a pot, clay pot. Sometimes we call it as a deity or an image. Or sometimes we call it by some other name. Whatever shape it has got, accordingly name is given. Name according to the form, isn't it? Name and form comes out from that. But the basic thing in all of them is earth. Earth is the basic thing. Similarly, in Chaitanyam, or living force inside, in that spiritual awareness or consciousness, or and let's call it as Antaryami, in all of them, which is the basic thing where all other Namarupam is happening from that. From there it is created, all the Namarupam. That is why if you become realized that everything is Sarvam Khalidam Brahma. Sarvam Khalidam Brahma. There is a statement in the Upanishads. It's coming from that. So, Iti Shantam Upasida. Tad Jadan Iti Shantam Upasida. Tad Jadan Iti Shantam Upasida. In other words, even Jadam, when we say anything that is in this world, even though it is dead matter, that has also come from the same source. So, you can see that when you worship the deity, you know very well the deity is made of stone. And you start wondering, how is this a form? Krishna is like this. You have given a name to that deity and a form to that deity. Sometimes it can happen like this, that before they make the deity, they take a huge stone. They bring it. And they will check the quality of the stone while making the deity. And looking at the deity, then the experts will know that this particular stone is good or bad for making the deity, that there is no anywhere any cracks, or if you work on it, whether it will break, the quality, all these things, those people know who make the deities. So when they make the deity, they have cut one piece from the big stone, because it's a huge stone rock there. Isn't it? They cut a piece. What they'll do, one piece they have cut to make the deity, and on another piece they are sitting. They're sitting on another piece, and they're both from the same stone that they have taken the piece to make the deity. One thing they're treating as the deity, other piece they're using it as a chair to sit, or to sleep, or to bathe, whatever they want to do there, they'll do with the, sitting on the other stone. Both are the same stone, but they have used it in such a way that, although it is Jadam, but when you give it a form, particular form, after they worked on it, they give a particular form, and then we say to everybody, this is Krishna. This is Krishna. And we all accept that this is Krishna. Vedam is telling us, because that stone has also come from Krishna, it is Krishna. That's how we have to take it. Because it's everything in the Jadam, although it is dead stone, we know that it is Jadam, isn't it? We are not perceiving life in that stone at the moment. We are only seeing, he's standing there, we dress the deity every day. We offer five times prasadam to the deity. We pay our obeisances to that deity. We pray to him asking for our problems to solving. And we, while doing all these things, we are also conscious that he's standing there like a stone. Am I praying to the stone? That thought also is there in a very subtle level inside us, isn't it? It is there. I mean, you can't deny that. So then how do we reconcile that? You have to reconcile in this way, that if Krishna is present in everyone and everything has come from Krishna, that stone also has come from Krishna, therefore it is Krishna. Therefore it is Krishna. In order to make our attention serious, this is required, this worship is necessary, deity worship is necessary, that somewhere you have to accept Krishna's presence properly and surrender there. Deity worship is one like that. Krishna is saying to us, my presence is in everything. Therefore, initially he says that you see me in all the wonders in this world, because that is a good place to look at. Therefore, he gives his opulences. Among the mountains, I am Himalaya. Among the water, in the water, I am the ocean. Sagaram, Sagaram Asmi. And then like that, among the great sages, I am Narada Maharshi or Bhrigu. And among the commanders, I am Subramanya. And like this, he gives a lot of great personalities, isn't it? And he says, if by doing that, what is the idea behind it? Because they have all come from Krishna. So that way we will develop a relationship with Krishna. And then the acharyas have given us this process of deity worship, so that in the deity also you start worshipping, acknowledging that Krishna is present there, you start. Not that you know it, you acknowledge it first. And then you start the worship, and in due course of time you will accept that although it is jadam, the matter, it is matter, it can become spirit lighter. Has become as a perception, will change in within us. So, but all these things, jadam, tad jadan iti shantam upasita, that upasana is like this, that although it is jadam, the origin of all this is Krishna. So, in whom all these things are taking birth, who is maintained and whom everything dissolves, if we have come to that point, the rishis are saying to us, always be situated in that state, and whatever you do with the mind or with your words or with your senses, whatever you do, even while doing all these things, knowing very well that with the least ego, trace of ego inside, if you simply realize it, this is all happening in the background of that Chaitanyam. That Chaitanyam or the living force. And that state is called Samadhi. So, in the Jnana Margam or Jnani Samadhi state is like that. That he is fully conscious that all the activities, whatever that is going on in this world, is nothing but with the mind or with his words or the intelligence, senses, everything. Whatever it is going on, whatever it may be, it is going on. But nowhere a jnani has any trace of identification with any of that. Why? Because he is always conscious all these things are happening in the presence or in the background of that living force. Of the living force or Antaryami. And it is a pastime. That is what's happening in the background of that Antaryami. So, when it is in the Samadhi state, it is Samadhi states you are acknowledging this. In the Vyavaharam state, it is Leela. That is how the Jnani will see it. Because in Vyavaharam state, you cannot give any logic to it, isn't it? Vyavaharam is various types of Vyavaharam goes on here. So in the Vyavaharam state, he only looks at it as a Leela, as a pastime. So all Leela or pastimes are that he knows very well when that's happening. That's just like in a cinema screen, when there is a cinema screen, how things happen in the screen. In the same way, all his karmam also, all his different activities also, none of them will become a cause cause for another birth or for pride or false ego. That is how pure the activity is for him. That means in that realized state, whatever that is happening in the creation, because when you have come to self-realization state and when you see this world will not be the same way you will perceive, like the way we perceive now. Now we are giving a lot of importance to many things in this world, isn't it? Because we think that this is what society is expecting from me, and so government has laid out certain rules we have to follow, and all these things we give importance to it. But in the realized state, what's happening? Because he is not bound by the rules of the society or the government, what he will do is, he will see all these things, what's going on, which has been brought in by the society or the government or whatever it is. He is observing all of them, but he is fully conscious that these things, what is going on here, is like a cinema on a screen. Like a cinema on a screen. That vision is very clear within him. So, and therefore, because it is like that, he does not identify with them, and there is no false ego, not even a trace of false ego in him. And therefore, it does not become a cause of rebirth for him. He doesn't have to accept another body again because of that. Because his relationship has changed with the world in that way. You see, four things, isn't it? Kartatvam, Bhoktratvam, two things. Kartrutvam, Bhoktratvam. I am the doer, I am the enjoyer. This is in all of us. Then what else we have got? Ragam, Dvesham. Coming from Kartrutvam, Bhoktratvam. Raga, Dvesham develops. And if you combine all these things, that is material existence. Yeah, that's our material existence. So material existence goes once Kartrutvam, Bhoktratvam has gone. Raga, Dvesham has gone. And in the Jnani's case, because he is with his relationship with the world is in this way, whatever that is going on in this world is like a cinema on a screen. He sees only the screen, not the cinema. We see the cinema, not the screen. That's the difference. We see the cinema, but not the screen. They see the screen, not the cinema. That's the difference. So in other words, so that's why he says here, Atha, if you look into the words, it mentions there, Atha, Hrishayo, Rishis, Dadhu, Stoi, Mano, Vachana, Charitam. Stoi, Mana, Vachana, Charitam, Dadhu. In other words, with the mind, with the words, and whatever activities are going on, because he is fixed on the soul, everything is offered in the, as that is coming from the soul, because he is doing like that, Kathama yatha bhavanti bhuvi datta padani nirnam. Krishna mentions this in the Bhagavad Gita. If you look, you will see the same thing. Karmani akarmaye pashyel akarmani cha karmaya. Karmani akarmaye pashyel akarmani cha karmaya. Sabuddhiman manushyeshu sayukta Krishna karma krit. In the car, I think it is in the. I haven't got the Bhagavad Gita. No. Karmanya karmaya pashyet akarmanija karmaya. Sabuddhiman manushyeshu sayukta Krishna karma krit. Remember that verse? It's a very important verse, and it's also a very confusing verse. People always ask that question. What does it mean? Action in inaction, yeah. 18? Ah, chapter? 18. No, I think somewhere in the beginning it is. Four chapters. Karmani akarmaya pashyet. Karmani akarmaya pashyet. Akarmanija karmaya. Sabuddhiman manushyeshu sayukta krishna karma krit. One, it says, one who sees action, inaction in action, and action in inaction, is intelligent among men. And he is in the transcendental position, although engaged in all sorts of activities. So that is what that is. That is exactly what Shruti Gita is also saying. Shruti Gita's statement is also the same thing. There is no difference between Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam. Bhagavad Gita said it in one way, Bhagavatam said it in another way. That's all. Bhagavatam is saying, Yada udayastamayo vigrader mridiva vigradat, Ada rishayo dhadustoi mano vachana charidam. Katham ayedha bhavandi bhuvi datta pada ani nirnam. It means the same thing. So, katham ayendi, then he says here that he is doing various things, but he is not making any contact with it. A rishi stage, rishi statement. Yani is also like that. That he has realized it, that all the activities, vyavaharam that is going on here, has nothing to do with him. It's going on, but behind that, that is presence, Krishna's presence is there. Vyavaharam is like that for him. And therefore he says here, while engaged in karmam, also, he is not doing anything. That is that action in inaction. You see, if you are doing karmam, and if it's not creating any vasana, and if you are not bound by that, you are not doing it. That is that action in inaction. If you want anybody ask that question, every time people ask that question, Prabhu, this Bhagavad Gita is saying action in inaction, inaction in action and all that. This makes no head and tail of it. But that's because that they have not gone in deeper into that subject. What it means is that if you work in this world, any amount of work you do here, if it has not caused any vasana inside, you have not created any vasana inside, and at the same time, that whatever you may have done here, it's not going to bind you. It's not going to bind you. If that's the case, that is called action in inaction. Action in inaction. Your action, but is inaction, is your real state, is inaction. Because in your subtle level, you have not created any problem for yourself. Karmam is a big subject, isn't it? Karmam is the biggest subject in the Bhagavad Gita. First six chapters, Krishna is talking about karmam for this reason only. Even if you look into the verse, the one before that, the karmanohyabhi bodhavyam, bodhavyam cha vikarmana akarmanascha bodhavyam gahana karmano gadi, Krishna is saying. Gahana karmano gadi. That is why, you see, he says, the intricacies of action are very hard to understand, he says. Therefore, one should know properly what action is, what forbidden action is, and what inaction is. Karmanyabhi bodhavyam bodhavyamcha vikarmana akarmanascha bodhavyam gahana karmano gadi. It is because of this only that when we see somebody suffering in this world, we shouldn't get too much affected by that. Because you don't know, Krishna himself is saying, like he spoke about Maya, same thing. He said, Devikyesha gunamayi mama maya durateya. It's very difficult to overcome that maya, he said. From there you can understand maya is something very difficult to deal with. We cannot, better not to try to deal with maya. It won't work. That's what that verse is giving us an indication to that. Similarly, about karmam also. Krishna is saying, karmanohyabhi bodhavyam, bodhavyam cha vikarmana, akarmanascha bodhavyam, gahana karmano gadi. How karmam takes, in what form the results come? Gahanam. Very difficult, Krishna is saying. The gadi, the direction of karmam. So therefore, if somebody is suffering heavily in this world, or somebody is enjoying in this world in a big way, you must see there that there is some karmam behind it. Sometimes somebody seems unusually wealthy in this world, isn't it? You see, look at some of these billionaires in this world. They've accumulated so much wealth. Now, it's very difficult to say that all that has come because of their own special talent. That's very hard to say that. Because there are a lot of people who got more talent than that in this world, but they're not getting it. You can see that. And some of these people who have made so much wealth, they didn't go to Harvard or Stanford or big university and had their MBA from there. What they did was they made money and then they went and got the degree. Many of them has done this. First they made the money and then they realized that to tell the world that they have some qualifications. People start asking, how did you make so much money? So they said, we must have an MBA also with that. Many of the big millionaires, if you take and look back, none of them has even seen the university. From the family tradition they followed, and money came to them. Every deal they made was a success for them. The money came. After that, they realized it that in the modern world, to have some recognition, even if you can't make it, at least your children, they'll send them to Harvard and come back, and they think that that way they can manage their business. You'll see this, all the big business families, if you look, you'll see the same thing happening. So, what do we recognize at that time is this, the power of karma behind it. That's what we have to notice there. In the same way, when somebody is suffering in this world also, sometimes some people suffer in extraordinary level, isn't it? And you start thinking, why so much misery and suffering like this coming to them, not going. Person want to leave the world, he can't leave. Still maintained, retained in this world, that's karma. That's karma. That's why Krishna is saying here, Gahana Karmano Gadi. Direction of karma, nobody can say, because you don't know the history of the person's whole track record. You don't have it. So you don't know about it. That's why great personalities are baffled by the results of the karma, it says. So, because while executing, jnanis we are talking about, while executing the work, karma in this world, actually they are not doing anything, and in no way they are bound by the karma. Because they have realized that there's no chances of them falling down, and therefore they will exit. They will escape. Therefore they will exit. That's why that verse is saying there, Kathamayatha bhavandi, Kathamayatha bhavandi bhuvi datta padani nirnam. It cannot be otherwise, it says. It cannot be otherwise. Bhuvi datta padani nirnam. That is the summary of that. Iti datta bhuvi datta padani nirnam. Because if you put your feet wherever in this world, it's always you're putting your feet on the earth, isn't it? Suppose I put my feet on this floor, if I put it on top of this sheet, or if I put it on the ground, ultimately I am putting my feet on the ground, on Mother Earth, isn't it? On other earth, I am standing there. Similarly, whatever work we do in this world, and whatever emotions or results or thoughts that comes from that, behind all that what Krishna is saying there, sorry, Shruti is saying there, Aghila Shakti Avabhotakate, that Chit Shakti, which this earlier verse mentioned as Aghila Shakti Avabhotakate, Aghila Shakti Avabhodam, that Chit Shakti that is behind that Chit Shakti itself is Andaryami. You see, only thing is it's spoken in different ways. The source is one and the same thing. That Andaryami inside is what we call as Chit Shakti. Chit Shakti is coming out from that Andaryami, isn't it? And by constantly focusing on that Chit Shakti or Andaryami, when one started experiencing that within and starts seeing all his movements, all other movements in this world is happening in that Andaryami, in a natural way, automatically they will come and settle down in that state. Will come, go and settle down in that state. And after that, whenever any vyavaharam happens in this world, and while vyavaharam is happening, with any vyavaharam which will not, either it brings results or not, still unaffected by that, and at the same time they will turn out to be fully realized, and in that realized state they will continue to operate in this world. If you look back into many of the self-realized souls, you will see this speciality in them. They will be carrying on doing things. Some of them will come as success, some of them will come as failure. But they will not be looking at the success or failure at any time. They will keep doing what is going on, they'll keep doing in this world. What they have to do, whatever vasanas are prompting from inside, or whatever vasanas are also prompted from Andaryami, it is Andaryami who releases the vasana from inside. So Antaryami makes that decision, this should happen, and the vasana is there inside that person, he will start doing those things according to that vasana. But the difference now is, because he has made this contact with Antaryami, although these vasanas are coming out, it's not creating any more bondage for him. He's not bound by any of that. Because those activities which are coming out, even though through vasanas it's coming out, it is not creating any more fresh vasanas within. And existing vasanas gets exhausted there. All these things are happening inside us. Inside everyone who is seriously advancing in the spiritual path. He may or may not know about it. But this is how system works inside. So that is, this understanding you will only get it from Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, Upanishads, Brahma Sutram and all that. So what they are saying here is that if it goes on like this, eventually they become Jivan Muktas, liberated from this world. So Kathamayatha Bhavandi, it says there, isn't it? Kathamayatha Bhavandi Bhuvi Dattabada Nindranam. Vedam, Shruti itself appeared here, and it is, if they don't reveal this truth to us, and this truth, how else it can be? Shruti says, because this truth, this understanding has come to this world through Vedam. Vedam has revealed this truth to the rishis. This Vedam, this knowledge has come to us. So, he is saying here, the Shruti is saying here, Kathamayadha Bhavandi Bhuvi Dattapadani Nranam. How else can it be, he says. How else can it be? Because Vedam is so sure about everything what is going on there. So that's how it is coming back to that. So, we, now, in the Veda Shruti, you will see here that Jaya Jaya Jahya Jamajida Dosha Gribhita Gunam Tomasiya Dalpana Samavarudha Samastabhagaham Agajagadogasam Akhila Shakti Avabhotakate Kochinjayalpana Jacharadonu Jari Nigamaham Brihadubalabdham Eda Davayandi Avashayashataya Yada Udayastamayo Vigrader Kriti Mudiva Vigradad Adahrishayo Dudu Swaymano Vajana Charidam Kathamayadha bhavandi bhuvi dattabadani nrinam Idi davasurastrayathipade akhila logamala kshapana kathamrudabdhi Avagahyatapam si jahum Kimudapuna sothama vidudhashaya kala gunaha Parama bhajandiye padam ajastra sukhanu bhavam Dridayam ivashosandi asubhrado yadite anuvithaha Mahadahamadadeyandam asrajan yadanugrahadaha Purusha vidhonya yotra charamo annamaya dishuyaha sadasadabaram tomatha yadeshua avashesha amrutam. So, Vedastuti. We have seen these two verses now, the first and the second verse. We have also, there Maya was called as Jahi, isn't it? Maya, Jahi. It says Jahi means how to remove Maya from inside. How to remove the Maya from inside. So, strictly speaking, through knowledge, Maya is not different from Krishna. Maya is present from Krishna. She has come, isn't it? So, she is not separate from Krishna. She is not separate. But when we realize that, then it's not that when we realize Maya, when we realize Krishna, that Maya goes away. What actually happens is, we come to realize that Maya is also not different from Krishna. Like everything, dead matter is also not different from Krishna. Similarly, mind, intelligence, ego, everything is also not different from Krishna. Deity is also not different from Krishna. Like this, we come to realize that everything is not different from Krishna. That is why at that time, Todiya Maya Atvam Na Bhajandi, that Maya is also Krishna's Maya, it is not somebody else's Maya. Mama Maya, Krishna says, isn't it? My Maya. That means it's Krishna's Maya. Mama Maya means Krishna's Maya. Devi Hesha Gunamayi, Mama Maya, Krishna says. He's not saying somebody else's Maya. It's Mama, my Maya, he says. Durateyam. So, Mama Maya Durateyam. So in other words, when Krishna says like that, what it means is that Maya is not another force which is separate from Krishna. Which is separate from Krishna. For example, Vaishnavi Maya, we say. And how to remove the Maya? That means when you realize that Maya is not different from Krishna, then Maya is not there anymore. When you realize Maya is not different from Krishna, then Maya is not there anymore. You started seeing Maya also as Krishna. Then, at the moment we are not seeing like that, isn't it? We are seeing Maya separately, Krishna separately. In our understanding. So, strictly speaking there, that energy and the energetic. Energy doesn't have a separate existence from the energetic. Only when the energetic is there, energy is there. So, at no time, Maya is separated from Krishna. Maya separated. So, once you know your own identity, Swarupam, or your personal identity, mind does not exist. Mind is Maya, isn't it? Mind is, see, this is the connection with the mind and the self. Although science doesn't give any detailed explanation about the mind because they are looking at it in a different way. In the Saundari Lahiri and others, they will talk about this in a very nice way to make us understand that if you have realized a self, if you have known yourself, your identity, then mind will not be there. Because at that time, you started seeing the mind anymore, not as mind, it's a self. Only self exists. Then, for today, for us, there is mind separately from the self. That's how we are progressing, isn't it? We are seeing self is different, mind is different, body is different, intelligence is different. But out of all this, the mind is the most important one, because it's from the mind the body has come. From the mind everything else has come, isn't it? Intelligence, senses, everything. So mind is the main thing. Our real identity is the mind in the material world. But this mind also, at some point when self-realization happens, the mind goes back and see, becomes one with the self. You see that mind doesn't exist separately from the self. From the self. So, sometimes people ask this question, how to control the mind? Because that's the main question. Even the sixth chapter, Krishna Arjuna is asking that question, isn't it? So, the answer was that, you may hear that it is impractical, you may think like that, but actually that is the only reality. Once you have realized the self, then there is no mind to control. To control mind, there is no mind to control after self-realization. That's what happens with the mind. Like you can see, mind is not a permanent thing, because when you go into deep sleep, where is the mind gone? It's only present in you when you are in the waking state and the dream state. That's only when you feel the effect of the mind in you. But as soon as you go into deep sleep state, the mind is not bothering you at all. Which shows that it's not a permanent thing that is present in us. But it is there that we have to recognize when you are in the conditioned state. But when self-realization happens, that existence of the mind is gone. Today we feel it exists. But one day we will feel that it doesn't exist when self-realization happens. So, similarly, in the same way, Maya also will go when self-realization happens. When self-realization happens, it will also go. So, at that point, when self-realization happens, at that time, Maya also becomes our identity. Our realization of the self, it will go and dissolve itself. Maya will dissolve, mind will dissolve within our self-realization. These are things that will happen inside at the time of self-realization. So, this is only to explain self-realization, the impact of self-realization in a person. This is what will happen. For him, mind won't exist anymore, Maya doesn't exist anymore. So, here you can see, that is why the word was used as Jahi. Remember? Jaya Jaya Jahi. Jahi Jahi Ajam Ajita Dosha Gribida Guna. So the word used is Jahi. Jahi means, this is what that means. Jahi means how this happens. Sometimes as they say, to conquer the mind, or to kill the mind, or to conquer Maya, or kill the Maya, whichever. But the word is used is Jahi. Jahi means this is what happens at that time. The mind goes and disappears because you have realized the self. Similarly, Maya goes and disappears because you have realized the self. They cannot exist in the self-realized state in you, in any of us, if we get realized one day. It cannot exist in us anymore. That's what it mentions here. So, Krishna also mentioned, what did he say? Maam eva e prabhadyande maya medam tarantite. In the Bhagavad Gita, that is how Krishna mentioned about, that is a very beautiful verse in the Bhagavad Gita. Devi hirsha gunamai. It's one of the best verses. But in the sense that it is telling us, the openly Krishna is telling us that Devi hirsha gunamai. Gunamai she is. Gunamai means three modes, isn't it? Sattvam, Rajasa, Tamasa. And Devi hirsha gunamai mama maya durateya. If you look into that verse, you will see. Is the fourth chapter, you say? 4, 7, 14, yeah. Sorry. Yeah. Devi hirsha gunamai mama maya durateya. Maam eva e prabhadyande maya medam tarantite. And it is a divine energy. Which one? Maya. Maya is a divine energy, isn't it? Devi it is. She is Devi. So therefore, you can't look at Maya and think that it is something, or you don't care. It is Krishna's divine energy, it is Maya. That's why it's called divine energy, isn't it? Devi hirsha gunamai. And he says, divine energy of mind consisting of the three modes of material nature. Three modes of nature is her form. That's how she comes. And it is difficult to overcome, he says. But those who have surrendered unto me can easily cross beyond it. But you have to be careful in that word. Although it will say like this, those who have surrendered to me can easily cross beyond it. Normally it is not easy to cross. And normally it's not easy to surrender also. If you remember that, then it's okay. But otherwise, it's only a small sentence, but what is expected is a lot, isn't it? That those who surrender to me can cross easily beyond it. It's not like a boat you catch and cross the other sea, other side. It's a long way before crossing happens. Why? Because she is Gunamayi and she is Krishna's energy. Krishna is saying like that. And that is what here also you can see. Mamamaya Durateyam. He mentions here, Mamayave Maya Medam Tarantide. So, when will one cross that? When one surrenders to Krishna. When one surrenders to Krishna. At the moment, what do we see? We are seeing the world. We are seeing the world. And where is Krishna? In the world, the only contact we have with Krishna is Brihad Ubalabdham. That's what the second verse has said, isn't it? It's available already. Krishna is there with us all the time. Brihad Ubalabdham. And Krishna says there, Shruti says there, it is Siddham. You already got it. Don't have to look for in the world. You already have it. And what we have actually got is Krishna, not the world. But what are we thinking? And Maya makes us think, what we have got is the world, not Krishna. See that? Today, in our understanding now, what we have got is the world, not Krishna. This verse is saying to us, what you have got is Krishna, not the world. Brihad Ubalabdham, that means you have got it. Ubalabdhi means you have got it. So what you have actually got is Krishna, not the world. But we are always, that is Maya. That is Krishna's Maya. Maya is making us think, what we have got is this world, not Krishna. All the time, isn't it? And that's what we are fighting against. To change this concept, what we have got now. Very difficult thing to come to that realization inside. That's why he says here, so, Brihad Ubalabdham. And based on that, what it says here, what we have got is not the world, it is Krishna. And that is the argument from now on. Upalabdha means what you have got, ever attained, you can say. Ever attained, or you have got it all the time. World, we haven't got it. The world, we haven't got it. The body, we haven't got it. See the logic behind it. The body, you haven't got it. Why? It will go one day. Therefore, you haven't got it. You can only say you have got it if you have got it forever, not temporarily. Temporarily, it has come because material nature has put it together something and gave a shape to you, and she will take it back when she wants it. So body, you haven't got it. But that awareness, you have got it, and she can't take it away from you. She can't take that away from you, that awareness. That is what it's saying here. Brihad Ubalabdham. All this is coming from that word. That Ubalabdham. And similarly, the world, you haven't got it. It so happened that you happen to come here and you'll be gone from here one day. So can you say you got it? No. The world, you haven't got it. The body, you haven't got it. Awareness, you have got it all the time. Whether you come here, you go away from here, you go to some other planet somewhere else, in some states, doesn't matter, you have got it. That, so, strictly speaking, the only thing what you have got is this awareness. Brihad Upalabdhaya. That's what he's saying. You haven't got the world, you haven't got the body, you have got nothing. That's all are coming and going. From an eternal point of view, from a real spiritual point of view, you haven't got the world, you haven't got the body, you haven't got anything. All you have is this awareness. So, body, you haven't actually got it. What has happened is, body has come up here in the Prakriti. In the Prakriti, it has come up. How do we say it is in the Prakriti? Because the cause of this body is the mind. Cause of this body is the mind. Mind belongs to where? Subtle body, isn't it? It is in that subtle body, due to different vasanas, a particular type of body was created for us. It's another construction happened. That body was constructed, centered around the mind. And mind has got several vasanas and also the karmam carried away in the chittam, in the karma vasana, which develops into finally as prarabdham, and accordingly the prarabdha shariram, body has come from that. There's another complex process that's going on there. You haven't got that. That material body has made it in that form based on the karma vasana inside and the prarabdham inside. So, we haven't got it. And we haven't got any hold on this body, isn't it? Because prakriti, material nature, has not given us any freedom or any control over this body, has it? You can see yourself that one day you were young, you were a little boy, then one day you have become a young man, then you become an old man, and all these things are not in your control, which shows to us that the control is not in our hands, it is in the hands of Prakriti. Prakriti is changing this, everything. Material nature is changing our body all the time. She is changing it, which means she is in control, not we in control. It is her control, that is what is happening. And even now, as we mentioned many times before, what all goes on inside this body, we are not conscious of, isn't it? We are not conscious of. You have to see this body separately from us all the time. Otherwise, keeping all the body together, mind together, trying for self-realization, it's not going to happen. Everything should be analyzed in a very minute level, in a very deeper level. And then you notice these things that this body inside, what's happening, I'm not aware of. Something is going on inside. Who knows what's going on? I'm not conscious of that, am I? Body, I'm breathing is going on. Who is running the breathing system inside? I'm not aware of. Blood is going on circulating. Doctor and scientists are telling us the blood is circulating in this thing called body. And then food is getting digested. Whenever something is, I know that I have to eat food when I am hungry. That's all I know. After that, what happens is not known to me. So many things are going on inside, and you are not conscious of anything. I am not conscious of anything. So similarly, breathing also goes on, and no control over that. Similarly, the food that has gone inside has changed itself and into energy. And sometimes, if whether it's all functioning properly, also we don't know yet. But what is all happening inside mind, similarly with the mind, intelligence, nothing we know, nothing we know. And still we say, it's my body. That's the beauty of that. That avidya inside. This is avidya. When you start studying things in a different way, see, we are studying everything because we are already fixed in one level, isn't it? From the early days in life, I've identified with my body, mind, intelligence, ego, and then I started working on that basis, everything else. Now, Upanishad Sandhi Shastram is telling us that you are none of these. They have all been given to you by somebody. Prakriti has given me the body, mind, intelligence and other things, senses, everything. And Prakriti, material nature will withdraw it when it wants. And this thing called body is also like that. It is standing there like that tree standing there. This body is standing here. That's all. And the tree does not know, if you want to know something, what is going on inside the tree, what all is happening inside the tree, you need some gadget for that, to see the inside of the tree, isn't it? Similarly, if you want to know what is going on inside this body also, we need some instrument to know that. I can't tell you what is going on inside my body at the moment. Although I am saying it's my body, I can't tell you what's going on inside my body. If I have to say to you what's going on inside my body, I need some instrument to see inside what is going on. Just like we have these X-rays and MRIs and CT scan and all that. It's all for this only, to find out what's going on inside. And I'm saying it's my body, but I can't know what is going on inside my body. So, is it not the greatest fun that I'm saying it's mine, but I don't know what's going on inside? So we don't know anything about our body. That is the truth. So it is only as far as we are concerned at the moment, it's only nothing but an appearance, isn't it? It's just appeared like this, and I keep saying that it's my body. So therefore, you can't say this body is upalabdham. That word they have used, you see. Brihad upalabdham. Body is not upalabdham. Awareness is upalabdham. In that second verse, 15, this Shruti Gita is a very deep subject. It's a lot in there, spoken and written and commented by many great personalities. And they can see, because it has to be like that. Why? After all, who is saying this? You have to look at. Vedas are talking about it, which means Vedam is the ultimate authority in knowledge, isn't it? So, when Vedam is saying something, Shruti is saying something, it must have its depth in it. If an ordinary person means even a normal, ordinary devotee speaks, you won't have that depth in there, is it not? Like for example, if you take Bhagavadam, in Bhagavadam there is so many glorifications, isn't it? Like Shruti Gita is one of them. Shruti's glorification of Krishna is this Shruti Gita. In Bhagavadam, there is Kunti Devi's prayers, Bhishma Dev's prayers, similarly Akrura's prayers, Muchukunda's prayers, and Gopi's prayers. Like this, all devotees' prayers. In depth, none of them are close to this. Shruti Gita. That is the difference. Shruti Gita is only one who is on a much, much deeper level. All other prayers, Prahlada's prayers, for example, you can read it, and with the help of other explanations from the other acharyas, commentaries and all, you will fairly get if you have a certain understanding, you will get a good amount of understanding of the depth of that prayers. For example, Kunti Devi's prayers is not so complex, isn't it? Only in one or two verses she speaks a little bit deeper. Otherwise, it's purely coming from a mother's heart. that prayer. That is the beauty of Kunti Devi's prayers. Similarly, Bhishma Pitamaha's prayers also, if you look into the prayers, he glorifies Krishna's three different instances, Rajasuyam, Mahabharata war, and the Rasa dance. All three things he glorifies them in the prayers. Similarly, if you look into Gopi's prayers also, I'm not saying we have understood everything, I'm just saying in comparison, in relationship with this. Those prayers are, within reason, some understanding it is possible. Whereas this Shruti Gita is the one thing in the whole Bhagavadam where it is spoken from such a deeper level, incorporates so much of spiritual understanding that many, many great devotees struggle with it. To explain that in a nice, better way. And Sridhara Swami had that success. So what he did, when he wrote similar verses for everything. I read to you the first verse. Now if you look at the second verse, what he said about the second verse, you will see the same thing.
Brihadubalabdhamedavayandavasheshatayam.
This is the Bhagavatam verse. Yada udhayastamayo vigrader mridiva vigradad. Adarshayo dhadustvai mano vajanacharidam kathamayadha bhavandi bhuvi dattapadani nranam. Sridhariyam says like this, that druhinavanyiravindramukhamara jagadidam navahave pratakutthidam bahumugairabhimandrayanairajastamiramurtiratho vinigadhyate. This is Sridhara Swami's commentary. In the Bhagavatam commentary, Shruti Gita, we saw the meaning, isn't it, of that verse. That means that actually these things, what I have mentioned now so far, is what I have got from some books, but there are many more explanations to this. That also you have to remember. This is not the only explanation to it. And if you ask the question, are they all correct? They are all correct. Because they can also make sense, because that's the way these verses are written. So here, Sridhariyam says like this, Druhina vanni revindra mukha amara jagadidam nabhave pradaguthidam bahumukhai abhimandraganai rajas tamarya murtirato vinigadhyase. Brahma, Lord Brahma, Agni, fire, the sun god, Indra, all these devatas, they have been spoken. About them, there is hymns in the Vedam. There is more hymns addressing Indra, Varuna, Shiva, and Brahma, and Agni in the Vedam. In the Vedam, there is so many hymns addressing to them. Even though it is like that, Sridhara Swami is mentioning here, it is very difficult to think that this world has come from any one of them. On the other hand, it doesn't mean that, he says, it has still come from Brahma, which is you. That's how it puts it. Druhana vanni revindra mukhamara jagatidam na bhavet pratakuthidam bahumugai rabi mandraganai rajastamira murti rato vinigadhyate. He says, because although there are so many mantram which glorifies different devatas, ultimately they are all addressed to you. When you glorify, that is how, if you look into sacrifice, mantrams related to sacrifices also, demigods are present in the sacrifice, isn't it? Several demigods are present in the sacrifice. And they have their own offerings to all of them, for Indra, Varuna, Agni. Most of them offerings are through them. And demigods receive them. They have two ways they consume that, the offering. One through the brahmanas and one through the fire. That is the principle. Very traditional way I'm talking about. Not now. Now it's all different. At the end, if you go back into the history, I'm saying, in its pure form, Agni and brahmanas, through them, you feed the devatas, the different demigods. You feed them. They accept your offering when you offer to the brahmanas, and that is why in all performance there is this specific feast offered to the brahmana, making them, pleasing them, pleasing the brahmana. You have to recognize, respect that position of the brahmana at that time, because he has no selfishness in him. All his life is meant for the welfare of the rest of the world, and his life itself is the message. Brahmana's life itself is the message. So sacrificing nature in him, that is why he is called a brahmana, isn't it? He has no selfish interest. Everything is for the world. He doesn't take anything in this world, instead he gives everything to the world. Therefore Krishna is pleased with them. Krishna, this we are talking about the perfect brahmanas. So in there, because of that, they are in that state that when food is offered as havisa into the fire, through the fire the offering goes to the devatas, and while feeding the brahmana, the offering actually, they are placed, the demigods are placed by that. That is the principle of the sacrifice. So when that is happening like that, although they are the source through which it is fed, Shridhara Swami is mentioning here, it is all indirectly addressed to you, to Brahman. You are the Brahman. Because the mantras what are spoken, all the mantras in the Vedam, although it is outwardly glorifying Indra, Chandra, Varuna and others, actually it is glorifying Krishna, the Vishnu Supreme Truth. That is how the, he says here, in the Sridhariyam, it is mentioned like that. So, here, coming back to this, that you can see here, this body is nothing but an appearance here, that's all. It's nothing more than that. That is our connection with the body, it's just appeared there. But why am I feeling the miseries of the body? Because I identified with it. Therefore, I am feeling the misery of the body. So, only the external cover of the body I am seeing, and we keep saying about heart, brain, liver and all that. But I don't experience them independently, do I? I don't experience my brain any time. Because doctors and scientists are saying it's there, and they show us a picture of this and telling us it's like this. So we also say, yeah, it's like that, we say. That's all how much we know about it. But in reality, we have no experience of it independently. Or the heart, or the brain, or the liver, or anything like that. So, just like a person who is traveling in a car, he is not fully conscious of everything what is going on in the car engine, is it? Car's engine, the flow of petrol, or the functioning of the different components in the car, he is not conscious of it. It's all going on, he is going in the car. In the same way, similarly, where all the mechanisms in the body and the instruments, how it is functioning, we cannot know that. This liver and stomach and intestines and all other part, heart, lungs and everything in the body, how it's functioning, we are not aware of that, isn't it? We are not aware of that, it's functioning, that's all we know. That is our relationship with the body, that's what I'm saying. That. So, so unless you have a gadget, you cannot say whether it's working or not. These parts, isn't it? So, and we don't have any freedom to know it either. This functioning of these parts. Suppose I close my eyes and I cannot, either eyes closed or open, I cannot see the function of the liver, brain, heart, none of them. And I cannot touch and feel it either, that these things are working okay. So therefore, how can I sense it then? I can't sense them, can I? There's no way of knowing it, whether it's working or not. That the body, inside body I'm saying, the heart is working or not, I can't sense it. Although we may say with the stethoscope, you may say it's beating, or sometimes with the pulse you may say little things, but practically in your experience it's not there. So, everything else in this world, in the prakriti, this is also an appearance in us. This body is an appearance on us. Appearance on us. And the growth or the destruction of the body is also not in our hands. The growth of the body or the destruction of the body is also not in our hands. When it will leave also is not in our hands. And how it has appeared, in what form it should appear, that's also not in our hands. And therefore, that is why that verse is saying, Brihad Ubaladham. The only thing is, there is one thing what we have got, which you can say it's yours, is that awareness. Avabhodam or awareness. Ahamasmi. And that's the only thing what is your experience. In your experience, that's the only thing what is present. So, I am in this way, that experience all the time. That experience is what is called here as Ubalabdham. Ubalabdham. Then, even if the lights is switched off, I am that awareness is always there in me, and that is called a Siddhi. It is a Siddhi actually. Why? You have got it. What you have got it is called a Siddhi. Siddhi means Siddham. What you have got, Siddham means what you have got it. Therefore, it's called a Siddhi. But this experience that I have got, Ubalabdham, awareness, it is somewhere in the body coming from. And we know that it is originating from somewhere in the body. But we don't know where it is originating from, isn't it? Bhagavatam is saying to us, it is not experiencing in one particular place, just like it says, example, that suppose you take a clay pot, and in that clay pot, if you make a hole in that, and if you show it in the sky, you will see, you can through that hole, you can see the sky. You can see the sky. So, and at that time you will say, that if you ask where is the sky, you will say, look through the hole and you can see the sky. We will say like that. And if you show it to a little child, that sky in that way, the child will think in one way. How will the child think? Child will think Akasham or the sky is something that I can see through the hole in the pot. That is the sky. Similarly, in our ignorant state, which is called Ajnana Dasha. Ajnana Dasha means in our conditioned state, where we have no knowledge. In that state, this experience of this awareness is like that. Experience of awareness is like that. Then you can see this. We start thinking, all of us start thinking. As soon as we talk about awareness, we ask the question, where is that awareness coming from? And then we start thinking it is coming from Antaryami. Okay, Shastram is saying it's coming from Antaryami. And we also ask the question, where is Antaryami? Antaryami is inside here. We touch and show it here. So, just like in the case of that pot, when you have made the hole and show it to the child, you look through the hole, you can see the sky inside. What we are doing is, we are making a hole in the body and telling us, you start looking through that and you can see the Antaryami there. That's how to begin with, to start this process. To start the process. In fact, in ignorant state, Ajnana Dasha, it is like that. Somewhere in the body, it is there we feel. It's coming from somewhere in the body. In fact, in reality, it is not like that. The sky is not in the through the hole that you see. Sky is always there, inside, outside. And actually, the pot, clay pot, is in the sky. And only sky is existing, pot is a creation, something that has come into the sky. Only sky is always existing, pot has come into the sky. So in that sense, you have to say only sky exists, pot doesn't exist. And if you look at it in a scientific way, scientific means through the Shastram, if you look at it, it is the sky that is present inside and outside of the pot, isn't it? Outside of the pot. And once you break that pot disappears, and then only what remains is the sky. What remains is the sky. And in the pot cannot exist in the sky, because from sky pot cannot come. What is present in every part of that particle of that pot also is sky. Suppose you break the pot into pieces, and small minute pieces, And if you take each particle, sky is present in that particle also. Sky is present there. Even scientists agree with that, isn't it? Now with their development, they are also agreeing that sky is present in everything. So, similarly, in our field of experience, once you have come to know what you are, or when the self is realized, those jnanis, their declaration to the world is that what they are declaring to the world, what they are saying is that this aham aham, this experience, what is inside us, that is akhandam. Akhandam means it is unbroken and uninterrupted. Unbroken and uninterrupted, it says. It happens at a certain state after realization. That is why whenever we refer to soul, initially we see it as something present inside the body, isn't it? That's how in the first stage we will see, because you have to begin somewhere. And as soon as somebody tells you about the soul, how does your thoughts go after? Your thoughts are to think that somewhere in the body he is present in the form of the soul. And then there is the explanation to the soul also is 1/10,000 part of the tip of the hair. And all these explanations are there for the soul, isn't it? Because that's only you can relate with it first. And that is this example of the pot, clay pot and the sky. Clay pot has no existence. Only sky is reality. The pot is not reality. Pot exists, a form has come, it's broken, it's gone. Similarly, our pure identity is not this body, not this mind, not this intelligence, and it is not even a small particle somewhere in the body, as by 1/10,000 tip or whatever we address it as. What is it then? It's that pure consciousness, and it is that consciousness which is present everywhere. Akhandam it is. Akhandam, unbroken. You cannot break it, that consciousness. So therefore, while discussing about the soul, the only way you can relate with it is following this route of the Upanishads. Now we'll discuss it tomorrow. All glory to Srila Prabhupada.